This is PFW in Progress.
Here's a nice piece of sh**.
PFW in Progress.
Poop again!
He called me sh**.
This is the best night of my life.
With Red Kirsch.
Shitter!
Paul Perillo.
Where's my snack pack?
You've got a banana. You don't need no snack pack.
You know I like snack packs. Why can't you just give me a snack pack?
And Andy. And Andy?
Whoa. The part of the story I don't like is that the little boy gave up looking for Happy after an hour. That little boy's got a thing. You got a pet. You got a responsibility.
Andy Hart.
If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that dog.
Some guy named Tom.
I am the smartest man alive!
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Oh, I want to touch the hiney.
PFW in Progress.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Welcome, everybody, to PFW in Progress. This is Tom Casale making my much-anticipated hosting debut. I am surrounded by a star-studded cast of characters. We got the man.
And we're back.
But no Fred Kirsch again.
No Fred Kirsch. He's still on vacation. We got the man, the myth, the legend, Paul Perillo. And we're welcoming back Andy Hart from his two-month vacation.
2 weeks.
2 months. Andy, how does it feel to be back?
Oh, it's great. Tremendous big Revs game tonight. I'm all ramped up for it. It's exciting. It's good times.
And joining us again this week is the two interns. We got Kyle Kramerica and Elizabeth Kramerica. And this week, the over-under for total words spoken by both of them is 72.
I'm going with the under.
I have the under. Easy.
69.
Yeah, are you going to keep track of that?
So, guys, what's going on?
Interrupt the solitaire game.
We're getting ready for training camp here. We're pumped. Next week it all starts.
Rookies are starting to sign, and Lawrence Maroney still has the same agent despite an erroneous report by God of Patriots coverage yesterday in the Globe.
You don't have to take cheap shots.
Why?
I made a mistake. We all make mistakes.
He was erroneous.
I made a mistake yesterday.
You did?
See, I said that Gus Frerotte is in Minnesota. No, I mean yesterday. I made a mistake yesterday.
But yeah, who's Mills?
And he's actually in St. Louis.
Mills, Andrews, and Stevenson.
Stevenson has signed.
And Lawrence Maroney's still negotiating with his current and always has been agent.
And Deion Branch is still negotiating.
Yeah.
Without a contract.
Good luck with that one, Deion.
How's this going to turn out?
I wonder, you know, how much negotiating is actually going on.
Branch's absence is unexcused.
With that whole situation.
So if there's no negotiating going on, then we have a problem, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. That's why I'm wondering.
Around the corner, and he's not signed.
Branch's absence is unexcused.
So Andy believes that Branch will be in here guaranteed.
For the opening game.
For the opening game.
Paul?
More worries,
I'm a little bit more worried about the possibility, but if I had to choose one or the other, I agree with Andy. I think he'll be here for the opening game, yes.
I just don't see him as the guy who's willing to not play in games, to miss games. I think he might miss some camp, and that's fine.
I probably agree with that part of it, that reasoning of it.
And I'm going by the guy. Like, the guy we see in the locker room, the guy you talk to, just he's not T.O., he's not even a Javon Walker or any. I mean, have you ever really heard him say something that made you think he fits that persona, the guy who would hold out?
Well, he does have a nickname.
Crunk?
For a reason. I mean, Deion is his nickname for his flashy style.
Right, but that, I think that's more of a show that he enjoys than a true punk type atmosphere.
I thought he was the nicest guy I talked to all of last season.
He is very nice. I enjoy my conversations with Deion Branch. I like talking to him, and I agree with Andy. I don't think that he, on the surface, is the type that would sacrifice games.
I think
when push comes to shove at some point in training camp, he's going to go to his agent if it hasn't been resolved at that point and say, we need to get this done because I need to play. We're going to lose. We're losing here.
Or not get anything done, and I just need to play and we'll get it done next
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, at some point, he's going to cut his losses and say, I have to get out there and play.
Well, and I have a question for you guys, but first let me give the email address. That is webradio@patriots.com, and the phone number, if you want to give us a call, is 508-543-7482. Now, is the David Givens, now is this problem now twofold. He's no longer here to catch passes from Tom Brady, but is the contract he signed in Tennessee going to affect this? And this has become a problem with Deion Branch, because obviously he's comparing his situation to Givens, and he definitely wants at least that kind of money.
Mm-hmm. I think that's part of the problem. I think it is partly twofold, because if you Branch, and you've obviously established yourself as the top receiver, why wouldn't you say, you know, that's a starting point? You know, why would you accept anything less than that?
Right. I actually think, and I don't think you guys are as in love with this whole scenario maybe as I am, knowing how much I like Chad Jackson, but I think it's almost threefold, because I think you drafted a guy who could be a legit number one game-breaking type wide receiver.
And I don't know if you...
That goes in different directions there. You're really torn.
And during your month's sabbatical, I'm not sure if you
listening
had a
every day.
I'm not sure if you had a chance to fully read the commentary that I wrote. I know you said you skimmed it yesterday, but I put that element in. What happens a year from now if Chad Jackson's emerged as the number one receiver?
Then you're really screwed.
So maybe the team wants Branch back for one more year, see what they got in Jackson, and if they feel like this guy is going to be a stud, we let Branch go, sign someone next offseason, maybe draft another guy. Is that what you're thinking they're looking at?
Sort of, but you're rolling the dice there, because despite what I think of Chad Jackson, that he's a Pro Bowler within the next 3 years, what if he isn't? I mean, what if he comes in and has 8 catches this year and barely gets on the field?
Still sign Branch. They would just have
right,
to overpay
for him. But then Branch goes, whoa, you don't have anybody now. Your little poster boy that you drafted last year isn't quite what you thought he was, and I'm still good.
Well,
and the price goes up.
That's part of negotiations, though, and
mm-hmm.
that's projections, it's potential. I mean, all those things factor in right now in Pioli and Belichick and the rest of the Patriots' front office. That's the kinds of things that they're weighing, and that's what they're, you know, that portion of it, that's what they're paid to do. They're supposed to look at Chad Jackson, and they need to be right on his projection. If that's into it, now maybe if you see them go out and they pay Branch maybe a little bit more money now, let's just say tomorrow he signs, if he gets a contract that's a little bit more than the three of us maybe were anticipating over the last couple of weeks when he's holdout signed, maybe that's an indication of they're not so sure about Chad Jackson. I happen to agree with Andy and Tom. I think they are pretty sure they have a pretty good player. I know Brady, in speaking to some other people, Brady has off the record said, this is great, this is a second party off the record comment.
Like
Brady has told other people off the record.
I like your boobs.
That, you know, he was pretty impressed with Jackson's overall, you know, not just his physical skills, but his mental ability as well. So,
and we're in the same situation they were in the last year or two with David Givens, Deion Branch. Part of the problem with signing David Givens was you were setting the market on your own team at wide receiver. Whatever you
right.
give Givens, and you probably could have had him cheaper 2 years ago, signed him to a longer-term deal, maybe even got it done where you would have been happy with the deal you gave him, and then signed Deion Branch at slightly more than that, but you chose to let him go. He got big money on the open market and still hurts you because that contract is still a starting point for Deion Branch to work from.
Now, any chance that this becomes a huge problem, and I'm going to use my weekly Cowboys analysis. If you remember back towards the end of Aikman's career, they refused to get receivers in Dallas, and you saw that frustrated look on his face during those games where guys just weren't open, they weren't where they were supposed to be, he had Irvin and pretty much no one else. Is this going to become a problem for the Patriots as the season goes on where, hey, maybe they just don't have any receivers, and if you don't have guys getting open, no matter how good Tom Brady
right.
is, he can't get anyone the football?
I don't think so, because I think Deion Branch will be here, and I think Chad Jackson is going to be a developing playmaker, and with the running game, in theory, improved with a now healthy Corey Dillon and a young Lawrence Maroney, I think you've improved upon maybe what you had last year. Now, no one's proven yet. I mean, we still have to see Benjamin Watson become a playmaker and catch 50, 60 balls. We have to see Chad Jackson do anything. We have to see Lawrence Maroney do anything. But in theory, I mean, based on the draft where they target early offense and give him some weapons, in theory, you're better off than you were a year ago.
And I think that's the part of it, Tom, and I'm not as familiar, obviously, with the Cowboys' late Aikman career, what they had in addition to wide receivers. I don't know if Novacek was still around.
No, they didn't have anything.
You know,
they drafted David LaFleur.
Yeah,
in
Watson and in Graham, I think they have two pretty good. I mean, I think Watson's upside is probably bigger than Graham's at this point, but I think they have two pretty good receivers. I think they have Thomas and Mills as a couple of guys that, you know, could potentially be in the passing game. As Andy mentioned, Chad Jackson and Maroney. you know, you have some weapons. You have Kevin Falk is still here. So I think there's a way to get some receptions. And, no, if Chad Jackson doesn't pan out and Branch is holding out and you're down to Caldwell and Brown, yeah, I mean, that's not an ideal situation. I don't think that's going to happen. However, I think that, like Andy said, you know, the more likely scenario is Jackson's a pretty good receiver and Branch is in the fold. I think that's plenty. I know that I probably downplay it more than I should, but I don't really see the receiving core as being the problem that most other people do.
Okay.
There's also a chance that they'll get...
They speak? How many? What time is it?
There's also a chance that they'll...
This is good news for people who got the over. Go ahead.
Isn't there also a chance, though, that they'll give Branch a little bit of money this year in hopes that he'll, you know, to keep him happy and in hopes that he'll come back next year and be more likely to sign at a, in maybe a little bit lower price if once he enters free agency?
The Richard Seymour.
Yeah, I mean, they could do that, and I think... You know, they obviously have the cap room to do that, but I think the fear with that tact is that then, you know, what happens when the next guy. I mean, sooner or later, now you have a precedent set that Tom Brady and Richard Seymour, you know, are exceptions to your value system. I mean, they have signed contracts that have them at the high end at their positions in terms of payroll, but... You know, the other guys, I think, they've been able to keep that value core in place, even with guys that, you know, like Mike Vrabel, who signed early to avoid free agency. They're pretty, you know, they're pretty reasonable, affordable contracts. Now, it's easy to use those words when you're talking about, you know, $20 million deals, but you know, it's not our money.
That's right.
Of course, it is coming out of our checks, though.
Probably.
One thing I found anything more coming out of
can't
my
have
check.
My wages garnished.
Interesting, and I didn't really look this up, but Tom Brady has the highest cap number in the history of the game this year.
Yeah, so much for him taking the hometown
discount.
I was
going to say so much. For
don't
him
you love
really
the emails we get? Well, Brady took less money to stay in New England.
$15 million, 15 and change, 15-17.
Wow.
And it'll be Manning is going to be more next year.
Yeah, but I know that last year, in terms of strict salary, like money that he got last year. He was tops in football, but that was kind of deceiving because he got the big signing bonus in addition to his salary last year.
But I think it's because of the tierings or whatever.
Right, but he must have had another tier. Yeah.
Just put all that to rest right now. I mean, you all know I think Tom Brady's the best player in professional football, so
yes. You
can give him as much money as you want, and I don't care. But don't send in any more emails saying that he took less money to stay in New England. Tom Brady didn't take less money to do anything. He's getting paid a ton of money. Good for him, but there's no, like we got during the off season. Where's all that extra money from Brady, you know, taking that deal? There is none.
Andy and I were very much on that bandwagon when he signed it. We thought it was a great deal. I think it's a good deal for the team because it gives them some flexibility should something happen.
Right.
You know, they're not going to be stuck. And I think it's a good deal for Brady because he obviously is getting a lot of money. But Andy and I never really fell in line with the whole hometown discount aspect of this deal, allowing for other free agents to remain. And Andy and I, of course, predictably got beat up on this topic by not only Fred and Brian at the time, but the fans who, you know, obviously
agreed
fall for that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you, in talking to some team personnel, they didn't like the terminology that was used a lot with the hometown discount. They don't feel they gave Tom Brady a hometown discount.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like Tom Brady is paid very, very well, and he is.
Just like Richard Seymour is.
Oh, I mean, Richard Seymour,
I think both of them got tremendous contracts.
Evidently, the media's come around on that because no one really says that Richard Seymour took a hometown discount on account of he's the highest paid defensive player in the game.
I personally think he got one of the best contracts I've ever seen.
Tremendous deal. It's almost all guaranteed.
It's almost like all guaranteed. Is he going to be a free agent again?
Isn't it like $28.6 million out of the $30 million or something like that? It's pretty much guaranteed.
Oh, you've got to cash in. You're only going to have one chance to cash in.
He's 29. He's going to get to cash in.
Probably going
to
have two.
Ty Law would be proud of that.
Yeah, you can't beat that deal that he signed.
Tremendous. Other than that, there's not a lot going on.
You want to? What do you want to do? You want to?
They painted
emails?
The walls in the tunnel.
Yeah, Fred
always wants us to update things. The walls in the tunnel have been repainted.
Do have the three draft pick signings:
right.
Yep. Willie Andrews, Dan Stevenson, and we didn't mention who they were. And Garrett Mills.
Actually, I did. Proved he wasn't listening right there.
You mentioned the three
all
guys.
Three names.
I'm sorry. Once again, Andy Hart does it better than everybody else, Tom.
He takes a month off
saying
and he
Paul
still shows.
Paul always yells at you when you say he doesn't listen. But
so you want to go around
I was
the
listening.
League?
I don't
want to
really
go around
the
league
the
a little bit first before we hit the emails?
Why don't you check with Andy on that, Tom? See what he's... Maybe he's already gone around the league.
We're going to talk about, like we were talking about yesterday in the office, about some of the teams that we feel might be surprises and things like that.
Oh, yeah. I can do that.
But we were talking about divisions today, and Tom brought up something that we all agree on that was laughable, that Tom Jackson called the AFC West...
The toughest division
in football. The toughest division in football, which... We all agreed,
but that
is not even in the top three divisions.
I want to say this very clearly.
Right. But being the intelligent sports people that we are, it got us talking about some other things.
Right.
And
to which led to some disagreement,
but
which is
the first thing
happens.
I want to bring up is T.O. is already getting on my nerves. He's already getting on my nerves.
Get rid of him.
Have his jersey yet?
Did he ever stop?
Trade me. Release me.
I'm just saying, though. He's saying the media is using him, which they do. Like I mentioned to Andy yesterday, ESPN has had a T.O. story 7 out of the last 8 days.
It's very easy to not be used by the media.
Right.
Next question.
You know, shut up.
He's blaming that.
Yeah, he blames the media for everything. But I'm just, he's already getting on my nerves.
Next question.
I don't know. You all know I love T.O. because I think he's the most dynamic offensive football player in the game. But it's just
like unlike everybody else,
I like talent.
You like talent.
I like T.O. I like Randy Moss. I like those guys.
You can take your
David Pattons.
I think Drew Bledsoe feels.
Right. How do you think the tuna feels?
I mean, they have to get it. You just have to observe him from afar. They have to interact with him on a regular basis.
It's going to be interesting to see how that works out.
So, are you not buying a T.O. jersey?
Crap.
I never said I was.
Hopefully nobody's going to tell him to shut up in the huddle down there in Texas.
Oh, it is the number one selling jersey, by the way.
Drew could tell him to shut up.
And Drew will definitely tell him to shut up at some point.
Right.
That'll be the end of that.
Well, and Kyle, we didn't mean to disrespect the AFC West. We know your Broncos are there. We don't want you to get in an uproar. We just don't feel it's the best division in football.
I didn't say anything about that. Or the Broncos yet. You're the one who... Come on.
I want to deal with this show with two super Broncos fans.
Apparently some emailers feel the same way.
It wasn't Kramerica.
That's my middle name, actually.
But we were just talking about some of the teams. I know Andy and I kind of are on the same page. We like the Lions and the Titans to be
the
main sleeper teams.
I think the Lions are a sleeper team, and I base that on the fact that everyone who listens to this show the last few years know I like a lot of the talent they've had, and they've never put it together. And I really get a good vibe from Rod Marinelli as one of those old-school kind of tough, hard-nosed, and maybe that's what that team needs, just somebody to come in, whip them into shape, not take any crap, if you're not going to do it, you're out kind of guy, and that's one of those things where I don't know if it works long-term, but maybe they can get a good boost early out of
and
that.
If you look at their talent compared to all the other teams in that division, they may be the most talented team.
It's not a very good division.
But granted, they have John Kitten at quarterback, but they also bring in Mike Martz to run the offense, and while he's a terrible football coach, no one has ever said anything bad about him as an offensive coordinator.
And we were talking about Kevin Jones. I think he could have a very good year. They clearly have enough talent at wide receiver to find two guys who can make plays for the offense. So I think they're a team that bears watching, and the Bears are not going to be as dominant, I wouldn't think, defensively.
No.
That's one of those things where you just can't consistently be that good. It's just hard to maintain. Maybe they'll be a little better because they had an awful quarterback in their dominant run last year. Maybe that'll balance itself out. But the rest of that division stinks. The Packers are going nowhere. The Vikings are a sinking ship again.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times when you have teams like that, and Minnesota would be another team in that kind of a situation, and I don't necessarily know what Brad Childress's style has been, but when you have a team that's has some talented players that are underperforming, underachievers, guys getting in trouble, suspensions, Charles Rogers and stuff, a guy like Marinelli, the quick fix, hard-nosed guy, those always work to, and generally, they run their course because you can't stay like that all the time.
Division,
we saw Coughlin do it with the Giants. Mm-hmm. That was kind of some lazy atmosphere with the Giants and stuff. And he clearly has turned them around, at least to the point where they're now a good solid playoff team. I think the Lions do have some talent. I share Tom's concern at the quarterback spot, although I do think they have a guy that's perfect. I think Kitna is the perfect guy for a bad team to get a bad team mediocre.
Right, I agree with you
100%. He's not a good guy to get you from mediocre to a playoff team, but he'll get you from 5 wins to 8 wins.
Right, exactly.
Because he's okay.
And when you look at that division, at the other quarterbacks, I mean, because I don't like to say things in certainty before the season, but one thing I feel really strongly about is that the Green Bay Packers are going to be a very bad football team, and they have the best quarterback in the division, but the rest of their team is garbage.
I'm not sure they have the best quarterback in the division anymore.
Well, the only thing is that
I was uncomfortable watching Brett Favre last year.
I'm just talking
but I think it
division.
Speaks volumes of the rest of the quarterbacks in the division. Kitna may be the best quarterback in the division.
I think Kitna may be better at this point in their career. Obviously, Favre, one of the all-time greats, but this point.
Grossman has not been able to stay healthy in
they
Chicago.
Sign somebody, though, as a backup?
Greasy.
Yeah, Brian Greasy could take over.
That's
that
not
team.
A bad
That's
situation.
An excellent signing for them. An excellent signing.
Finally doing something so you're not pulling Kyle Orton
Tom,
off the bench.
It's going to be a fine backup.
Fine backup. But an interesting situation in Chicago is that they're kind of pushing Thomas Jones out, who has been very productive for him. And if they bring in Cedric Benson as the feature back, and he's not as good as advertised.
Thomas Jones ran for 1,300, I want to say, last year. I mean, that's a pretty good year. That's
fine year.
It's going to be
fine. They're also having problems with, what's his name, Briggs, the linebacker. Right? He's not showing up for any of the workouts and things.
So that'll be an interesting, awful division that the Patriots have to play.
I thought they settled all those things. They had two young starters on defense. I thought that were holding on. I thought they both settled. One of them was the cornerback there.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything on Backer. Briggs. I'm not sure if he's Tillman.
But he was fine. He came back.
I'm not sure about Briggs. I hadn't heard anything on him.
Right, maybe I just missed that. Or maybe Andy talked about it earlier in the show, and I just wasn't paying attention.
Probably. You usually don't listen.
Now, we had some good conversation about the AFC. Andy and I, for no particular reason whatsoever other than we like Jeff Fisher, think the Titans might surprise and compete.
I also like David Givens.
Yes, David
it's
Givens.
A decent signing.
It's a... You know, and I like Billy Volek a little bit more than Paul does. I know Paul was covering the Patriots at the time, and I was sitting home watching TV. So
I didn't get a chance to see a lot of
the
stuff that
but
you
thing,
saw.
But the thing you say about Volek is correct. He is like a bomber type of quarterback. But in his defense, when he played, the Titans had by far the worst defense in professional football. So they really had no other way to go than to try to outscore people.
And I'll say in fairness to Tom, what I've seen from Volek has been basically the primetime recaps, and it seems like you're watching and it's 21-3 midway through the third quarter, and all of a sudden Volek ends up with 421 yards passing in a 45-31 loss, a game that they're never really competitive in, and he piled up a lot of yards that you let the guy pile up to get the game over with.
And he may be that Kelly Holcomb type of backup where he can come in and throw for a bunch of yards, but as a starter he's not as effective. We'll have to wait and see. But
although Gordon Forbes, who writes this was kind of ironic based on our conversation about Baltimore and Tennessee this morning. Gordon Forbes in the NFL notes that will appear next week in our next issue writes a lot about McNair and all that
All thrilled.
And he mentions Billy Volek and says he's won a lot of big games for Tennessee. To which I'll say, just name me one. Just name me one big game he's won. I don't think he's won more than three in his career anyway, but name me one big game he's won.
All those games were high-scoring games that they came out on.
They haven't played a big game since 2003.
Right. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Gordon's old.
But the team I wanted to talk about, and if people want to email in on this, is that we were talking a lot about the Ravens.
Yes.
Now, that's an interesting team because, they, like Paul said, they got McNair.
It's a very complex.
Some people on ESPN have them as Super Bowl contenders, while people like Paul think they'll be lucky to win seven games. So there's a lot of different opinions on the Ravens. Andy, how do you see them shaping up this year?
And they're an interesting team in an interesting division where all four teams could possibly be playoff contenders or, 500-type teams with a lot of tough games in the division. But I think Baltimore, I think McNair automatically makes them better because I think their quarterback play has been atrocious for years with the whole Kyle Bowler, Anthony Wright, all the different experiments they've had. And I think, unlike Paul, who thinks he's done.
But a shocking comment by Perillo earlier in the day says he doesn't think McNair being there makes that much of a difference at quarterback.
Right, at all.
Yeah, but
he thinks he's done.
Can we do the rest of it, though?
He thinks he's Brett Favre.
I'm giving you a chance
to respond.
Steve
McNair or Brett Favre?
Steve McNair.
Ooh. Okay. I thought you would have said same guy.
No, Steve McNair won't throw 30 interceptions.
But you don't feel that the Ravens are any better with McNair than Bowler, though?
I think it's a marginal upgrade, but the reason for that is I think that McNair has been beaten up so badly, and I know Patriots fans refuse to acknowledge this. They just think it's a product of the media. But the guy is constantly been banged up. He's has a lot of running under his belt from earlier in his career. Just a lot of punishment the guy has taken, and I think it affected him to the point where now he's a little bit deteriorating in some of his skills, number one. And number two, he is not going to play anywhere near a full schedule at anywhere near 100%. Tom Brady plays 16 games a year. Peyton Manning plays 16 games a year. They probably play a lot of those games at pretty close to 100%. They don't get beat, you know, last year notwithstanding, they don't get beaten up all that often. You know, they don't take a lot. You know, can you really think of a lot of memorable hits that Brady has taken over the years, or that Manning has taken over the years?
Definitely, I mean, not Manning. Brady last year, took more.
There's no question. Everybody takes some, and everybody's playing at less than 100%. But I think that McNair is nowhere near 100%, mm-hmm. in even some of the games that he has played over the last two or three seasons. And for that reason, I think it's more likely that he's going to, you know, maybe the, whereas a guy like Brady might have to take the 8th, 10th, 12th big hit before he starts slowing down. It might be the 3rd or 4th one from McNair you know, maybe causes him to miss the next week.
Could be, but I thought Tom brought up an interesting point earlier that they're clearly going to try and play defense. They got the two running backs now, just pound away, and maybe he only has to make Ben Roethlisberger-like, you know, 10 for 14 performance.
And with Clayton, Mason, and Heap, that's not a bad receiving.
Mason. Get back together with Mason.
Yeah, that's not a bad. I mean, Clayton had a pretty good rookie year with a bad quarterback. Heap is a good tight end.
Ravens. Ed Reed signed an extension. He's happy. Ray Lewis, I guess.
Ravens also, quarterbacks were also sacked 42 times last year, which is not a good combination.
Paul does not like the offensive line. That's where he thinks that they won't.
Well, I read.
That's the reason why you feel they won't be able to get back
protect
to
protect him. And I think that, I also think the defense, and I know statistically the defense was pretty decent last year, but I think that it's gradually deteriorated. I think they've lost a lot of guys over the years, like, you know, the guys they always talk about up front with Siragusa and Sam Adams from several years ago, but even, you know, guys like Peter Boulware and Jamie Sharper, some
Adams
other guys that maybe
New York,
you know, weren't necessarily huge names, but I think that they were pretty good players, and they really, I mean, they
Didn't
got
they draft Bunkley?
They replaced Boulware with Suggs, who is, you know, that was a good pick. He's been a very good player. And obviously Ed Reed, I think, you know, all things considered, may be the best defensive player in football.
Mm-hmm.
But Ray Lewis is a shadow of his former self.
No question.
And, you know, and every year it seems like, it's almost like, you know, like the Drew Bledsoe thing, where every year there's a new theme as to why Ray Lewis wasn't as good as he was the previous year. It was like when we were going through the Bledsoe thing. Well, you know, he lost Curtis Martin. Well, you know, the offensive line has lost this one. Well, you know, Terry Glenn went in the crapper. You know, at some point it was Drew's fault. And, you know, I'm the biggest Bledsoe fan there was, and I could recognize that. At some point, Ray Lewis just isn't that good anymore. And I think we've come to that point.
I think he's, and I've used this comparison in other ways, but I think he's a lot like Mike Tyson. I think the whole aura from Ray Lewis.
That's exactly what I think of the Ravens in general.
It's like Customato died, or this guy left him, and he was going to
be. No, he's just not that good anymore.
Right.
Early last year, I referred to the Ravens as the Mike Tyson of football, and people aren't afraid of playing that defense anymore.
I think it's Ray Lewis.
And I think that's exactly what it is.
That's a good analogy. I like it. I'm going to go
run with it.
The Ravens are done. I'm going with Paul.
Wait a minute. I convinced you?
The Mike Tyson analogy did it for me.
Ray Lewis is done.
Now I will say, you know, and this was, you know, I think it was very ironic because we had about a half-hour discussion about this, and then all of a sudden Gordon Forbes sent in his column, and I read it, and he wrote basically all about what we were talking about. And he said, I mean, I was kind of surprised to realize that Baltimore, I think, was 10th.
It's a very complex proposal.
And they lost, I think it was like 6 out of their 10 games they lost because they scored like 10 point, an average of 10.2 points or something like that. So they didn't lose because of defense. They lost because they couldn't score.
Right.
They
got McNair.
And Mike Anderson. That's who they signed, right? Anderson?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they'll have Anderson and Jamal Lewis.
Lewis has got to be
but
better.
But Anderson
right?
is 33 now.
Right.
So... But he's a young 33 because he was right. in the Army or whatever.
Yeah, I know. That doesn't take any year. That's no wear and tear there.
I love young 33.
Well, we know he's in great shape.
No, but I mean, because he was in the Army. No wear and tear in the body there, being in the military.
Yeah, Anderson beat 1,000 yards rushing last year, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did.
Kyle well knows, being in Denver and
huge Broncos
fan and Thunder and Lightning there with Anderson and
Mike
Tatum
Shanahan
Bell.
On a
I got bad
basis.
News for you, Kyle. I think the Broncos are a team on the way down.
I do too.
Well, I think they created their own controversy.
There's
with
a bit of a theme going here. There's a couple of teams that Andy and Tom see on the rise, like Tennessee and Detroit that they talked about. The vast majority of the league, however, they see as being on the decline.
Steelers, I don't like. I don't like the Broncos.
Bill Belichick tells me every day, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. So. Those teams, if they're not on the rise, they're on the decline.
So the Patriots get worse or better?
This offseason? Better.
Better.
Better. Chad Jackson.
The Dolphins better.
I'm going to beat the Chad Jackson horse
to a pulp. The Bills worse.
The Bills worse, definitely. The Jets.
And I really didn't understand it.
Long term better, short term no different.
Because they got to implement.
Although draft,
style.
Yeah, they got better long term, no question.
I think Andy's funny because Andy spends 8, 10, 12 of these shows in a row ripping the Patriots for their offseason acquisitions and their lackluster free agent. I think at one point they didn't even have a team. Who's on the team? They don't even have a team.
Oh, and you
ask them point blank a week before training camp. Better or worse? Better.
That was a quote by Andy Hart earlier in the year that they can't even field a team.
Now they can.
See, I listened to your previous shows. I just didn't listen to you today.
Andy's got 4 Patriot rookies battling for Rookie of the Year this year.
No, just Chad Jackson.
Okay, well,
he is elite. I'm telling you, you guys make fun of me, and we discussed it earlier. John Lester, I wasn't happy with him. Comes out with a great performance for a prospect. Chad Jackson
is
special.
This is where Andy tries to take credit for things that we all believe.
Special.
There's no question.
We all believe
the
same thing.
I was on the Chad Jackson
bandwagon. That was so well put right there.
18 years ago.
See, Andy was on the Chad Jackson bandwagon because we were at the combine and he saw him run his 40-yard dash.
No, I was on his bandwagon when I saw that stupid skills competition and I saw how great his hands were. It was cemented when he ran a 4.32 40.
Yes.
The only thing that drags him down is his idiotic agent.
He has all the physical skills. There's no,
I don't know, some idiot. I watched Jackson run the 40 live on NFL Network with his agent in front of the TV, and the guy's a doofus.
When are we going to get back to the Mike Reese thing that we just kind of breezed over at the very beginning?
You guys want
to
slam Reese? I got no problem with that.
Okay, go ahead, Paul. Paul Perillo.
Well,
Patriot Paul Perillo, slam him.
Patriot Paul Perillo?
That's what they call you on
the
internet.
Mike Reese reported that Lawrence Maroney fired his agent. And
erroneously reported.
Yes,
evidently, according to the agent, who is Vance Milinovich.
Prominent agent. Vance
who is prominent Milinovich. Agent, according to Albert Breer.
Might as well just rip everybody off.
No, I never heard of him. Vance Milinovich says that he is very much still running the negotiations for Lawrence Maroney.
It's basically a technical thing where they were a corporation or whatever with a trio of agents, and one of them is breaking free. And so they're changing the name of the, sounds like the whole firm and everything. And people thought that Maroney and Vernon Davis were leaving with, what's the guy's name who's leaving? You don't have it, Paul.
I don't know. Who's
the guy who was leaving is going basically to join David Dunn's organization. Mm-hmm. And they thought Maroney and Davis were going with him, but they're staying with these other two guys that this guy broke away from. So it's Milinovich and the other guy who was his partner.
Locke, Metz, and Milinovich.
It's actually been a national story because Pro Football Talk was talking about it because it's become more common this whole.
So is Davis still there or not?
Maroney
says here, according
staying.
To the website ProFootballTalk.com, the firm Locke, Metz, and Milinovich Sports was dropped earlier in the week by San Francisco 49ers tight end Vernon Davis.
Exact same scenario as Maroney. It was dropped because technically the firm is different now. You know, they
so
dropped
they had
the
to refile
guy,
the
so
paperwork.
It's a different company that's representing him. But he and Maroney are staying with a duo of agents that includes the world-renowned Milinovich.
So bottom line is none of us expects this to be at all a hindrance or a help in his...
No. And I also expect he'll be in camp.
And we bring it up because if any other reporter had did this, the fans would be all over him.
Right. It's kind of like when Manny screws up and... baseball.
It
becomes a national event.
Reese made a mistake.
That's Manny being Manny,
Everybody tries to pile on Manny.
Right.
Nobody wants to pile on Mike Reese.
But
they love him.
But I'm saying, if that's anybody else would come in, it would be...
They'd have an angle.
So...
They'd have an agenda.
Mike Reese has been strangely quiet from this. No updates on his blog.
Yeah.
I noticed that. Interesting.
Credibility. Manny Ortiz.
All right, anyway, let's move on.
Are we ready to get
some emails?
Yeah.
Okay, Andy and I are going to love this first email.
Nice.
Okay, I got... Wait,
good for Paul.
I got to learn how to do this here. Hang on a
America's.
Second. All right. A couple questions. True or false, Brady will have over 1,000 yards. False.
Brady will have over 1,000 yards?
Passing.
True.
He'll have over 4,000.
I mean, I'm sorry, 4,000.
It was like 1,000 he'll have after
over 4,000.
I thought you meant running.
No, over 4,000 yards.
True.
I say false.
I'll say false. I'll say their running game is better this year. He won't have
Okay, well, this brings us to the next question. Maroney will get Rookie of the Year. I say true.
False.
False.
Not even the best rookie on his team.
I say true. Maroney will he'll have more chances because Dylan will be out in week two. Maroney will have the most yards of the rookie, second to Bush.
Haven't we had this email before?
False.
I'll go true.
I think Joseph Addai has a chance to have more yards.
I think the upside of Bush is phenomenal. I think Joseph Addai,
even though
is
I don't think
garbage.
I don't, and I agree with you, but I think he might get more opportunities.
Right, but reports of the system. Andy, reports already coming out of Indianapolis, platooning with Dominic Rhodes, which tells me that.
Yeah, I read some of that, and I agree with Tom.
They're seeing the same thing we did. Addai, a good change of pace guy, receiver out of the backfield, but we don't know if he can carry the ball 350 times.
And I say D'Angelo Williams.
Yes,
most yards.
D'Angelo Williams also
good guy. Sean Foster breaks his leg or whatever he always does, gets hurt, and D'Angelo Williams cruises.
I think that, well, I still say Addai is going to get more opportunities unless someone gets hurt.
But when you say yards, if you're talking total yards, that's Bush by 100 miles, I think. If you're talking just rushing yards, he's going to be sharing the load with Deuce. So, you know, I think
you simply cannot teach.
This is scary. I like Bush.
Okay, next one. Jackson will get over 61 catches for 839 yards.
Yes.
How many catches?
61 for 839.
839.
I don't know. I'm going to say false.
Will you exceed those totals? I'll say false.
I think it'll be
62 or 840.
David Givens didn't exceed those totals last year, correct?
Right.
So I'll say no.
I know David Givens, and I know Chad Jackson.
You guys can
David Givens is no
too.
Chad Jackson.
The interns are easily hitting the under right now. But you guys can actually shout out to
I mean,
to
they can fault. Double up with falses and truths here.
Okay, next one. Patriots go 12-4. Absolutely true.
True.
No doubt about it.
False.
Put it in the books. 12-4.
False. Because I get all the others. I get 11-5. I get 13-3.
I'm going 12-4 easy. The Patriots get a vet quarterback by next PFW in progress.
False.
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 Considering it was sent last Wednesday.
Yeah.
False.
I'm going to guarantee a false on that. And then this is the best part of the email. Thanks. Andy is the best and Tom raised to second in my book.
Woohoo!
Now that's someone who knows what they're talking about.
I want to know what the next two come in line with. You guys aren't eligible because, you know, the new Kramerica is, but is Paul pulling up the rear now? Is Fred ahead of Paul? Because that would
Fred
be tragic.
I am definitely last. Fred doesn't count. Fred's not in
the line. You've got to look out for number one.
This is a long email. Am I supposed to read the whole thing?
10 minutes in.
Good thing you've all got tons of top of your list.
Hey, they never said I was the best host.
I think you're doing an outstanding job hosting.
Well, thank you, Paul. All right, here we go.
Most of us just have to look at the phone number when we have to check.
I did notice you had to look for web radio.
You had to look for web radio at pages.com.
Haven't you heard it 1,000 times?
Yeah, I know. I just didn't want to get it wrong. Okay, this is a pretty long email. Great work as always.
Web TV at patriots.com. That's web TV.
Oh, I'm supposed to say who these are from, too. I'm sorry. The last one was from Michael in Florida somewhere.
Hey, Mike. And somewhere in Florida.
This is from John in L.A. I'm just, you know, I'm getting used to this stuff. Great work as always. Prior to my recent regular write-ins, I emailed a question a couple of years ago mentioning my gig as a sports writer for the now-defunct Playboy TV show, The Weekend Flash.
Swing. I am sorry you lost that gig.
I was serious. I was. L.A. is nice day job-wise. What the hell is this about?
No, but we're going down Playboy TV. I like it. Keep rolling.
Okay.
I love the parentheses part here, Tom. You going to read that?
The what?
Obviously, you don't have to read this on the air. Just thought I'd share.
All right. So let's get to the part where he talks about the Patriots. There's something about Silence of the Lambs. Don't get it. Great skit. Don't want to talk about it. Is there any hope for Gus Scott? I can't even call him a tease despite his continual injuries because I really don't know what, if anything, we have in him. I know Rodney praised him at some point, but Rodney praised James Sanders as well. We'll have to see if Rodney's got a good eye for talent or is simply trying to nudge his eventual successors toward confident. Opinions?
I'm less high on Gus Scott than I was last year at this time. I was a big Gus Scott potential guy at this time last year, but he had a chance to play a little bit. I'm not going to kill him for that. I mean, he went up against some pretty good players and looked bad against Gates in particular here in the blowout loss to the Chargers. But
Crumpler, too, we had trouble
yeah,
with.
The audacity. Crumpler and Gates.
Yeah, well, that's why I said he went up against a couple of pretty good players, so I don't want to kill him for that, for not looking good. I think a lot of safeties don't look good against those guys. But, you know, sometimes
you
gotta
be pretty good to make it through two straight seasons of ending injuries. I mean,
you get hurt a couple of times. I don't know.
Plus another, he mentions James Sanders in the mix is kind of a year behind that. You know, he gets the extra year of. And Tom loves him, and one of the hardest workers, earning himself a parking spot this spring.
Rodney did talk up Gus Scott a little bit.
He also talked up James Sanders.
Well, yeah, and
I don't know if you read the Tom story. Tom,
I know,
Casale
but does
story.
That mean that Rodney is just like he said, just trying to pump up these young guys to make them more confident?
I think Rodney's a pretty good guy.
I don't like
Gus Scott.
I think
this is what you do if you're a pretty good teammate.
I don't think he's got it.
I don't think he does either.
The second part, I see the F word in, so I'm going to skip that. Gun to your head. Who of the following will be re-signed by the Pats by the time they reach free agency? I realize not all of these are free agents next year. Asante.
No.
Yes. Geno Wilson.
Yes.
When is this? Time.
Before when?
Before they reach free agency.
Be re-signed before they hit free agency?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. To anybody.
So no.
I don't think any of those guys will sign extensions.
But re-signed. Let's just play re-signed.
Okay.
Asante Samuel.
Yes, re-signed.
Eugene Wilson. He's gone. I think he'll be back.
Ty Warren.
I think he'll be back.
Boy, I'm getting boring. Yes. Deion Branch.
No.
Yes, I think he'll be back.
Just mixed it up a little there. Vince Wilfork.
Yes, I think he'll be back.
Dan Copen. No.
No, I'm going to go.
His replacement, Dan Stevens.
I'm going to go no as well.
They're going to want him back, but the market will offer him more money than they're willing to pay him.
Exactly. And I think the difference is, you know, you got Wilfork and Warren. They play a defensive line in New England that their stats aren't all that gaudy. Although, do you know that Wilfork had 90-some-odd tackles last year?
Yeah.
Second on the team.
He played linebacker the first half of the season. You should get 10 a game at linebacker.
I think that their stats won't necessarily make them huge commodities on the open market, whereas we've already seen the Patriots' offensive linemen have garnered some interest,
mm-hmm.
Even though they don't have stats. But, you know, we've seen Woody go. We've seen Stephen Neal kind of be out there a little bit. And, you know, I think that, you know, we've seen Tom Ashworth go.
Ashworth cashed in.
so, Adrian Clem.
Yeah.
So, we've seen some offensive linemen in that. Oh, I forgot about Andrewsy. I think Copen will go because
plus,
I think people will look at that and say,
I'm Joe Andrewsy.
He's an anchor for them in the middle of that line for a couple of Super Bowl teams, and they'll go after him.
I'm not sold that he's going to be ready to start this season. And then
you have
if he has
concerns about that.
Oh, I'm concerned.
It's
taken quite a while. I mean, the guy, as I told you way back when, I saw the scar on his back.
A torn rotator cuff
me.
Is a major injury. Now, I understand he doesn't have to go out and pitch.
Right.
But there's a lot of stress on the shoulder here.
Mental image of him in, like, a baseball uniform.
Fat guy in a little uniform.
So if Copen is not healthy to start the season, who gets the roster spot? Ross Tucker or Dan Stevenson?
The
good answer is whoever can do the job.
Stevenson.
Thanks, Bill. Just so you know, Stevenson. Bill's not entertaining, and neither was that answer. I think Stevenson.
Okay.
I like the whole theory of Dan Stevenson playing for Charlie Weiss, and he's the hard worker, and he's stuck with the program at Notre Dame, and all that. He seems like the lunch pail Joe Andrews.
If I'm not mistaken, Ross Tucker, like, fifth, sixth year?
Yeah.
Dan Stevenson.
Stevenson was
that guy in
the
little uniform.
The top lineman at Notre Dame, too. I think he could step in a role like that.
I like the idea of Dan Stevenson down the road.
And John finishes with an interesting question. If you could pick any player off any roster, cap hit aside, just from talent and Pat's need angle, who would it be? His choices are Ed Reed, Jonathan Vilma, Brian Urlacher, and Anquan Boldin.
That's a good list of guys.
It's also a good question.
That's a great question, but I mean, to narrow it down, Patriots needs...
Does Urlacher fit here? Does he fit in
this
defense?
I would take Steve Smith would be one of my top guys because I think in this offense he would fit great with his with his speed and run after the catch. So
I think
would be one of the guys.
I think you could make a really good case for any of those guys. I would probably tend to go with Ed Reed or Vilma because I know how much the Patriots coaches loved Vilma.
Yeah, you couldn't get Ed Reed in here quick enough if that was the case. I mean, if we could do this.
How about LaDainian Tomlinson?
Well, I think he said need, and they drafted Maroney. Because
if
you're talking like that, you can give me Larry Johnson.
Well, my mind, I got LaDainian Tomlinson in this little scenario. I cut Corey Dillon, and I have LaDainian Tomlinson playing running back and wide receiver, and I have Lawrence Maroney playing running back the rest of the time. and I like my chances with that offense.
Good question, though. I really like
very good question.
I really like those kinds of.
And I like him, too, if you really think about it, like I said, with Urlacher. He's a great player, but is he a great player for this defense? Would he fit great, or would he be?
Well, that's why
would he lose something because of the scheme?
I agree, and that's why I went Vilmer over Urlacher, even though I think Urlacher is a better player. I think Vilmer, I'm not going to say we know, but based on what we know, the Patriots coaches thought, we think that he could fit into this system.
They thought he was so special that they didn't care what he's...
They really liked Vilma, from what I understand.
Actually, who's the best outside linebacker pass rusher in the game?
Dan
outside linebacker pass rusher?
Yeah.
Merriman? I mean, he's obviously going to become one of them. DeMarcus Ware. Mm-hmm. Those guys are... I wouldn't mind seeing one of them. And maybe it's Roosevelt Colvin. Maybe he boosts up and, you know, becomes a 10 to 14 sack guy. I'm a big fan of a guy off the edge just getting to the quarterback. But even Colvin's not that guy. I like those guys.
Okay. Well, we got a new emailer, Nick Beisdell from sunny San Diego. He just found the podcast. He likes it a lot. He says the schedule, he believes 14-2. I believe he's nuts.
He said 12-4 is a lock?
No, but
and they couldn't eke out two other wins there?
I just think, 12-4 is best-case scenario in my book.
Okay, best-case scenario.
He says, but he'll settle for 12-4 and get the bye.
Called it a lock.
I thought he called it a lock, too.
I was listening to that, Andy.
It is a lock. But I'm saying...
But if it's a lock, lock that they have 12 wins. Well, maybe if they steal one here or there, now they got 14.
The other way. I don't think they're going to go upwards of 12. I think they could go downwards of 12 if things don't go right.
No, it's a lock. They can't go anywhere, first of all.
You're an idiot. If you keep up this kind of performance, I'm going to move to number one on that guy's list, and you're going to be behind Fred. So Nick has some questions. Who is in danger of losing their job more, Pass, Evans, or Mills?
It's just my opinion, but I don't think Evans has a chance.
Right. Evans doesn't have a
job.
And
I would say Pass might be in danger of losing a job more than Mills, because I think Mills is the young guy.
Mills doesn't have a job either.
No, I know that, but I think as the young guy,
right, I agree.
He might represent a little bit more potential.
It's kind of what we just talked about with Sanders and Scott. The newer guy who's been here less is going to win out in two unproven guys, most likely, because you can survive on potential. It's kind of the Tully Bantakane, Dan Klecko. They're out of potential, and they've done nothing.
Well, I'm not going to make any guarantees on Heath Evans, because we know what happened the last time I tried that crap. But I'm going to be shocked if he's on the final 53-man roster.
I will be,
too. Say that.
I agree with you guys.
Okay, assuming they can't make the 53-man roster, but will any of the following make the practice squad? Pierre Woods, Freddie Roach, Pat Cobbs.
Yes.
I think...
who has the best chance?
Either Pierre Woods or Mincy, I think, if they don't make the roster, has a very good... One of those two has a very good chance of being on the
practice squad. Well, then this brings us to the next question, Paul. I'll say it since you mentioned Mincy. Jerome Mincy and Ryan O'Callaghan. How do they look? Do either of them make the squad?
Right. It's Jeremy Mincy.
Jeremy Mincy.
Just as a point of clarification. Jerome Mincy.
It actually says Jeremy Mincy. I read
basketball
wrong,
player.
So.
Jeremy.
I call him Jerome all the time.
All right,
Jeremy. Basketball player.
Jeremy.
It's hard to answer these questions quickly. I don't know.
Tom's getting flustered.
But Fred has more talent than I thought he did.
Oh, no, he doesn't. What was the question? O'Callaghan?
O'Callaghan or Mincy?
Flip a coin.
Yeah.
I think what we do around here a lot is we put 5th, 6th, 7th round picks on the team.
Right.
You know, way too prematurely. I think those guys really need to earn their spots.
And is there a spot to be earned?
Is a second rounder going to get cut? Probably not. I mean, it would really, really have to be an extreme case. But a 6th rounder...
But there also
to flip a coin. A guy could make it, or you could never hear from him again.
Right. There also has to be a spot to be earned. And is there an offensive line spot for O'Callaghan? Is there a legitimate spot for a guy like Mincy, outside linebacker, defensive end? Whereas Andrews, you mentioned 5th, 6th, 7th round pick.
He might have
because
more of
the
a
return game. People are saying, well, he might make the team. And yeah, there's a role there.
We know that they have a lot of defensive backs. They keep a lot of those guys play on special teams, even when they're not returners. So. That I think he might have more of an opportunity, and we know for a fact, because they always have, there will be at least one, probably two offensive linemen on the practice squad. There always are.
And I feel that out of the two he mentioned, Mincy and O'Callaghan, I feel that one of those are the two that's not going to make the team. I just
Mincy or O'Callaghan?
Yeah, I just feel that one of those guys might be the, one of the rookies that doesn't make the team, and that's who I think it is, just based on your...
I mean, there's, first of all, he's in a tough... There's a battle there. If Light's back and healthy, he's your left tackle. Nick Kazier is fighting Brandon Gorin, two guys who have started, proven themselves in the system. Where does he fit in? And also the questions about his drive and his work ethic and all that from talking to his college coaches.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Nick goes on to say, by my count, going by the excellent PFW depth chart, are six corners and eight safeties. A tad much. Do they move Wilson or Hawkins back to corner? Who gets to stay? So he wants to know if Hawkins or Wilson will be moved back to corner this year.
I mean, those guys can play both, and I don't think you necessarily need to get locked up into a label for either one of them. But what do you mean by your count? You have, is that what's on the roster now? Six corners and eight safeties? Or is that what he has making the team? Because there's no way they're going to keep 14 defensive
guys. That's what's on the roster right now.
Oh,
he's
okay.
Wondering, because there's eight safeties, he feels eight safeties is a lot, so he's wondering if either one of those guys
make it.
Gets
moved to corner.
I think, based on what we saw in minicamp, I think you're going to see guys like Warfield, Wilson, probably Hawkins, although we didn't see him in minicamp because he didn't participate. They're going to probably be able to play both. Bill does that. I mean... and there's another one. We saw it way back in the past when he had Rodney and Ty Law kind of moving around in that big playoff game against the Colts, switching jobs. He does that kind of stuff. He doesn't look at it as, cornerback, so you have to play outside and do that. I mean, basically, when you're in, and Bill talks about this all the time, when you're in your nickel and dime packages, some of those defensive backs are really linebackers. They're not even cornerbacks or safeties. They're just extra guys that are out there playing in the slot, playing in intermediate routes. We see...
his package.
In the past, we've seen it with McGinnis. We've seen it with Vrabel a lot, where they're way out in the slot hitting wide receivers. Now, they're not cornerbacks, but that's what cornerbacks do when they play press coverage. So I wouldn't necessarily worry about six corners, eight safeties. I think that all said and done, you'll probably end up with 10 or 11 defensive backs on the roster.
Versatility is the
right,
key
name
word. Guys that can play different positions.
If there's 14 on the roster, I'll tell you I think that Poteet will be gone.
Ventrone will be gone.
Ventrone's one of those, he'll be gone. Antoine Spain will be gone, so that gets us down to 11.
Jamara Williams will be gone.
Yeah.
Herring will be gone.
That's why I think there's more than 14 on the roster.
Burnell Brown.
I think he has 14 in his final roster.
Okay.
All right, so give me who makes it?
Hobbs.
Hobbs Samuel.
Hobbs is probably a lock.
Okay.
Hobbs Samuel.
Samuel.
Tabucky Jones.
Tabucky Jones, Eugene Wilson, Rodney Harrison.
Harrison.
Five.
Sanders.
Hello. Harrison's a... For opening day roster?
Opening day, whatever. I'm talking about the roster.
Talking about making the team. Sanders, you guys think he'll make it, right?
But if he's not technically on the roster, somebody else could be on it.
Kyle.
Okay, yes, I do think he'll be on the roster. I do think he'll be on the roster.
I'm just saying, if we're coming up with the breakdown of what that person...
I think he'll be on the roster.
No PUP, no nothing.
Okay. I just don't think he'll play. I think he'll be inactive opening day, but I think he'll be on the roster.
All right, let's get to the last question. I'm the host here. Who are the last couple guys that will get cut? Like, who are the guys that will be the final cuts?
Andy Hart.
He
made a run, he just couldn't make it.
Last couple guys to get cut.
Any surprise cuts you guys see coming?
I don't,
boy. Brandon Gorin, maybe?
I don't really, I mean, this is another
Chard
one. Chard
Scott.
I don't really look at it like this. The last couple, I mean... Like last year, for example.
Bill. I don't really look at it that way. But I don't really like to label him. I don't really see positions.
No, I don't think that he does it. I mean, I don't think that you could look at the guys that get cut in the second cut making the team as guys that get cut in the first. I don't think that...
Paul, he tells me every year that it's really not 53 players. It's all the guys at 65 are
going
to play in the
league. Right,
but I
think if you also look back at last year and the players that were quote-unquote surprises got cut in the first round, first wave of cuts, Davey...
He's saying last guy's cut.
Dexter Reed. Well, who was the last guy? Who would you consider the last guy's cut last year?
Rodney Bailey.
I would consider those guys closest to have made the team that didn't. I would consider those guys closer than, the list of guys that you'd never heard of that got cut in the last cut.
Well, just play along and pretend like the last cut. Like you're making out your 53-man roster.
Toughest omissions?
Yeah. Chad Scott, I'm going with.
Okay. I'm going to go with Eric Warfield and Brandon Gorin.
Brandon Gorin would be a good one.
I like Tom's.
Brandon Gorin would be a good
one. I like Tom's.
But I think Chad Scott is a guy
I'm also going with two quarterbacks on the roster, by the way.
Yeah. I think everybody is at this point. Right? I mean, I'd be shocked
we have
if Corey Bramlett makes.
Yes. Patriots signed fifth-round draft choice Ryan O'Callaghan.
Oh, that's a good signing.
So, another draft pick signed.
He's a good special team.
Tom, that means take a break.
Oh, Gary, well, Nick ends by saying, I have to give Eric his props, too. I mean, we can't just slam him. He says, welcome, Eric. I like your views on special teams, which I never get to hear about. Tom, you are my favorite. I'll come to your wedding. My popularity continues to grow. Okay, let's take a break, and we'll get back with more of your emails. And PFW in progress.
Wednesday, July 19th at 7:30, the fields of Athenry come to Gillette Stadium with the boys from Scotland. Welcome the newly crowned Scottish Premier League title holder Celtic Football Club as they face off against your New England Revolution. The World Cup might be over, but the World's Game heats up in Foxborough as Celtic stars Aidan McGeady and Sean Maloney go up against Taylor Twelman.
Unbelievable! Taylor Twelman!
Clint Dempsey.
Diving header by Dempsey!
Matt Reese.
Great save by Matt Reese!
And the rest of the Reds. Don't miss Celtic Football Club's first appearance in the Boston area in 30 years as they prepare for the upcoming UEFA Champions League season. Tickets are on sale now. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS to find out about special group discounts and free parking. This is a match you won't want to miss. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your tickets now.
From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Tom Brady watches a 60-yard.
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
And that's full time. The New England Revolution are your Eastern Conference champions for 2005. What a performance by the Revs.
The New England Revolution are revved up for a return to MLS Cup. As summer heats up New England, the soccer action heats up in Foxborough.
There it is! Gillette Stadium explodes!
Don't miss exciting matchups against DC United and Freddie Adu. A Friday night matchup against Real Salt Lake and the New York Red Bulls and Houston Dynamo's first ever appearances in Foxborough. Get to Gillette Stadium for hot soccer action all summer long with the interactive theme park soccer celebration plus free parking all season long. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable fun day for the whole family. Tickets start at just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution. This is PFW in progress.
Buff melanoma. Molly Russell's wart. Not her wart. I'm the wart. She's my tumor. My growth. My pimple. I'm Uncle Wart. Just old Buck Wart Russell. That's what they call me. Or, melanoma head. They'll call me that.
PFW in progress.
Don't give me any crap, Maisie.
I'm telling you, you said crap.
There's nothing wrong with crap.
Oh, really? I thought that was a swear.
No, you're thinking of sh**.
With Fred Kirsch.
Forget that we were perfectly happy. So thank them for getting treated like sh**t every day.
I'm telling them that one.
Paul Perillo.
What did you have, a few drinks this morning? Huh? I think you did, didn't you?
In the field of local live home entertainment. Oh, my God!
You low-life, lying, four-flushing sack of shit.
And Andy.
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On the rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story. What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
Andy Hart.
You have much more hair than you know from my dad.
How nice of you to notice.
I'm a kid. That's my job.
Some guy named Tom.
Your girlfriend?
Friend? And yes, she is a girl.
Are you supposed to marry her or something?
The subject has come up, yes, but nothing serious.
Maybe if you got married, you'd stop being such an ass.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Look, I'm just calling to say I miss you. No, I haven't been drinking. I've been thinking a lot about you. Well, think about those two little dimples on your buns. what did we call them? One was on the right was Lyndon and the left was Johnson, I think. No, that was your boobs we did. No, your boobs were Minnie and Mickey. I remember that because of Disney World. And Felix. Felix is what we called you.
BFW in progress.
Take this quarter. Go downtown and have a rat gnaw that thing off your face.
All right, we're back. BFW in progress. It's web radio. Web radio at Patriots.com.
He tried not to look.
Yeah. Web radio at Patriots.com. I'm not even giving out the phone number because no one's going to call anyway.
Well, Andy, Jamie in Houston might.
Yeah, Jamie, though. He already got these guys on speed dial.
That's true.
Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, Kyle Kramerica, Elizabeth Kramerica here with you today. We got anything? You want to get back to the emails? What's going on? Kyle, Elizabeth, how's it? You've been here a week. How's it been?
Kind of trying
to get you over those 72
yeah,
words there.
No, we appreciate it. No, it's going great so far.
Everyone's been great, and it's a very cool environment to work in.
Andy's back. I thought he was like your imaginary friend for the first 3 days. Oh. We figured out where the kitchen is, so I got some coffee the other day.
Figure out where the kitchen
and I didn't know where the kitchen was for 6 months.
So you're well ahead of time.
Yeah, that's thanks to the Fred Kirsch tour. He takes you in the basement, in the boiler room, and gives you some shortcuts.
Yeah.
But doesn't show you where
the
kitchen
hard
is.
Way.
Okay, we got an email from...
Were you molested by Fred in the boiler room?
Or I point to my backside and say, kiss it.
We got an email from Terry from New Haven, Connecticut.
Nice.
Hi, all. I have been a huge Pats fan since Bledsoe was drafted in 93. Was this Paul? I have fond memories of the Super Bowl run in 96 and was wondering if there was anything special planned for the website to commemorate the 10-year anniversary of the AFC Championship run. Keep up the good work for the dog days of summer. Lori should become a permanent fixture on the show.
Hell no.
Terry.
There is a possibility. We are looking into that. Might have something in conjunction with the, I believe we're in November when we play Green Bay. Maybe for that issue, doing kind of a retrospective of the 96 season. Maybe employ our Marshall, who is our de facto historian.
That is not
kind of work on something
for.
Like that. And obviously it would appear on the website as well.
Okay.
And plus, Paul talks about Drew and his great years and everything every single episode of PFW.
Right, so just tune in.
Right.
John and
you
Palm.
Come here and you can do this damn radio show.
John in Palm Bay, Florida. Is that around you, Elizabeth?
Not so much, no.
Okay.
Elizabeth's from Florida?
She goes to school in Central Florida, Dante Culpepper.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're a big Culpepper fan?
The football
by
team
the
is kind
eyes
of a joke.
Say no.
Well, originally from Baltimore, so you know what that means.
No. You like Johnny Unitas?
Who it? Okay, this is John from Palm
Bay,
Florida.
I'm still trying to figure out what it means.
Do you know who holds the Pats record for tackles all time?
Dan Klecko.
Do you screen these before you read them?
Well, I thought this might be an interesting tidbit.
Tackles
is
an unofficial statistic, so it's hard to really say who holds the all-time lead in tackles.
I really couldn't even give you a guess.
Well, if Paul doesn't know, then
Dan
nobody knows. Because Paul's like the
I honestly couldn't even
seriously,
give you a guess.
I mean, do you go by the coaches' film?
I'll go with
stat?
Steve Nelson, but I couldn't give okay. you I couldn't even
well,
give
I didn't know. I thought maybe you knew. You want to look at the questions before I read
no,
them?
No, what's his name who played in all those games?
He's getting all huffy.
Julius Adams. Didn't he play forever?
Yeah, but he was a defensive lineman, so.
Yeah, you fall on the pile, you get a friendly coach, he'll give you a half a tackle for that.
All right, let's move on.
Suppose it's possible.
That's not what we're looking for.
We got a David DeNunzio. DeNunzio.
He's one of our guys,
Rocky
Tom.
Hill, Connecticut, yes.
It's one of our tribe.
And he has something to say to me and Paul. I bet that Tom and Tom and Paul will end up breaking even on the bet with Lori about Tom crying at his wedding. I think he technically will, but it will be because of some fat, freeloading uncle that Tom has never met will get drunk and tear up the place. I will not be crying at my wedding, and if that fat, freeloading uncle does that, I will beat him to death with a baseball bat outside by the dumpster.
Which is also
right.
tends to happen in our tribe from time to time.
I'm sure D'Annunzio knows about that. So anyway, my question is, what do you expect of Vincey? I understand that Bison will be heavily relied on inside next to Brewski. But what about the subs? When Bison needs a breather, will they move around the players like Rabel going inside and Vincey outside? I could foresee this possibly creating some matchup problems for other teams as well, especially if Rabel is moved around in this manner. So does Vincey end up being ahead of Banta Kane on the O linebacker depth chart? Thanks, Dave.
I really don't know.
I
think a lot of sub packages will be Jarvis Green or what we talked about earlier with the extra safety guy, cornerback,
yeah,
playing linebacker guy.
Yeah.
Because those two positions have a little more experience depth than you. I mean, who's number five at linebacker? I couldn't tell you.
But I can't see, and I don't think that Banta Kane is necessarily the answer, but I can't see Vincey right now being ahead of Banta Kane at outside linebacker on the depth chart, on the coach's depth chart.
It's more likely it's Brewski, Colvin, Vrabel, Beisel comes out, and a Green or somebody comes in. Those are the experienced playmaking types. Vrabel can do a lot of different things. I don't see them bringing in a Banta Kane at this point.
It is a major, major question, and you know, in the preview that's coming out, we'll do our position breakdowns next week. That's got to be the biggest one around linebacker. You have Beisel, and he's obviously the guy in the hot seat. If he doesn't pan out, who's number five? And conversely, if one of those other three gets injured, where do they turn?
Right.
Yeah. Where do they turn?
That's a big problem.
You know, they used to have, you know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, in the heyday of this defense, 2003 and 2004, they had six guys for those four spots.
Right.
You know, in addition to the three that we have now with Colvin, Vrabel, and Brewski, you had Johnson, you had McGinnis, and you had Pfeiffer. Now you're only, you know, instead of six for four spots, you have three.
And you cleared that up for us at minicamp. Roman Pfeiffer's locker indeed is gone.
Gone.
No longer says Roman Pfeiffer in the locker
room. Good point,
so Andy. Come back.
Roman Pfeiffer not coming back.
But no, there's not. Who knows? I mean, there isn't much to turn to unless we
watch
get surprised.
Watch the Pfeiffer next week.
Right. Unless we get surprised by a Vincey or a, I don't even know. I'm giving up on Banta Kane. Banta Kane.
We just haven't seen. I'm not saying that these guys can't play. I'm saying that, you know, guys like Klecko and Banta Kane that have been around three and four seasons, you know, if they haven't really garnered any sort of consistent role within the defense, what makes us think that now they're ready to step in?
Nothing.
And be anything more than a bit player? I'd have to be proven wrong on that before I would think that that's going to happen.
And either way, there's going to be a huge fall off. Whoever wins the role or has to be put out there, you're talking about guys that are key contributors, playmakers, a Brewski, a Vrabel, a Colvin. Those are all guys that have made plays for this team. The guy coming in is not going to be as good or anywhere near.
Even a guy like Matt Chatham, who was a career special teamer, had more experience.
Easy now. He's very sensitive towards that.
Had more experience as a defensive player than Banta Kane or Klecko. You know, obviously Ryan Claridge, who's another guy that gets kind of talked about a lot. Go ahead.
What?
Proceed.
Yeah, okay. I was done.
Well, you kind of stopped. Middles.
It's unlike him. He usually babbles on forever.
I kind of stopped listening to you. I was watching the game. Justin in Alaska, one of our favorite emailers.
Our favorite. I drink out of my coffee mug every
day. And Justin, I need some new mesh shorts. When are you coming back to Gillette Stadium? But he's got a problem with Kramerica.
XL for Tom.
He's got a problem with Kramerica. Putting salt in the wound isn't good, so maybe until we're all over the loss in Denver, let's keep the Colorado new kid off the air. Well, you don't have to worry, Justin, because him being off the air and on the air is pretty much the same thing.
Same.
So he asked about Branch, about holding out, which we talked about, and he says, since Mills has signed, how soon before Jackson and Thomas sign? And the number one draft choice as well, Maroney.
I think within 10 days or 9 days or whatever.
So what are we up to now? 4? Of the 10, right?
Yep.
4?
Yeah. We
have the 7th, one of the 6s, then a 5th, and one of the 4s.
I really don't see any of them not being here for training camp.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if there's a holdout.
So we are now what? 9 days away or whatever? 8 days away?
Yeah, for them, though, they start a little earlier, too. But I don't...
Whatever
I don't,
it is, they'll be here.
I don't foresee this being a problem. I really don't.
Okay, and then he says, bam, bam, bam. Now that we're all thinking Flintstones, Tom, of if he's on vacation like the rest of yous, Paul, what are Bam's chances on making the roster this year? Last preseason, he seemed like he had potential, but didn't make the 53. Think this year is his with our thinning roster?
What in God's name did you just say?
I have really very little
no,
idea.
No, you just read word for word, but...
I have no idea what that means.
Cleaned it up a little.
I have very little idea of what I'm trying to
answer.
What he said
was, now that we're thinking of the Flintstones, Tom, or if you're on vacation, Paul... He just
says, Paul.
Says, oh, if Tom is on vacation.
I didn't
oh,
get
I see.
It.
I didn't get
I'll
it either.
I'll paraphrase. Is Bam Childers going to make the 53-man roster?
That's see, now, that's what we're looking for.
I'm sorry. I
that's what
that
we're looking for out of you.
I read it. That's it, Justin. You're done. I'm not reading the rest of your email.
Hey, you're looking for shorts. I wouldn't cut him off so quickly.
Nah, he's not coming back. He's in Alaska. Let's be realistic.
How many,
mail, you know.
How many trips from Alaska to Foxborough?
Yeah, we got all we're getting. Yeah, I'm not kissing.
I don't know. He mailed Paul a shirt.
I'm going to say no.
You say no on Bam Childress. Andy.
I know Andy's going to say
I
yes.
I say yes. I think five guys make it.
Okay, I say...
I think five receivers make it. I just don't think Bam Childress would be one of them.
Who's the next?
Don't know. John Stone.
Imagine that if John Stone makes the roster.
John Stone has more experience in the NFL than
no.
Bam Childress does.
I say Bam Childress doesn't make it.
So who makes it? Does five make it or just four?
I'm going with Paul. I say John Stone.
I'd be...
Because of his kick return.
I just don't know if I could write like John Stone.
John Stone fills out the wide receiver core.
Sounds like one of those names that, you know, you watch like one of those 1950s detective stories and the guy's name was John Stone, the subject.
Right. It's just weird.
It's like a fake name.
Whoever it is, let's hope he doesn't have to play a lot. We all agree on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you're talking about a fifth receiver spot, think about how often you've seen Bevel Johnson
because
on
of injuries,
the offense
I'm
in the
saying,
last
though.
Couple of years. Right.
Let's hope, like, Deion Branch and Rashay Caldwell don't go down, and all of a sudden John Stone's in the starting
Is there
lineup.
Any chance one of the guys, like maybe your guy, Zuriel Smith, there, makes it as a returner fifth receiver?
Didn't I already tell you that Zuriel Smith can't return?
Yes, and I listened to you, Tom. That's why I didn't take him into consideration, Mr. Casale.
Are there any
I
other return
you when you told me he can't
yes.
play.
I Ooh. Gave you...
Who's the return man?
I think you were on vacation when I told Paul his career return
That could have been anything.
Is like 12 yards.
So who else is a returner
is that
wide receiver? All right, can we proceed?
Who else is a returner? Stone, cool. Childress. That's about it.
So it really is between those two guys.
They're, I would say, the front runners, yeah, for that fifth spot.
Wow, interesting.
You know, well, according to Patriots fans, David Patton, they've gotten word from Joe Gibbs that David Patton will be cut.
Right.
So he'll be back.
Now, I'm just thinking.
I'm going to laugh the day that Patton's cut. Just because Patriots Nation has had him cut since, like, late April.
Right.
Since Antoine Randall L. signed.
Okay, we got Johnny here from Frederick, Maryland. Hey, I enjoyed the show last week. The nodding on the radio really came through. Good job.
Who nodded?
Yeah, Elizabeth kept nodding.
Only once.
I would ask questions and they would give me the nodding. Yes, we're on radio. It was like Fred Kirsch all over again. We're on radio. They can't see you. This is not Howard Stern. We're not simulcasted.
Who, if you know, is Tom closest to on the team?
Dr.
I think
Phil.
He means Brady, not me.
Bubba Ventrone.
Does he Dr. hang Phil. With one player more than any other? And Dr. why Phil. With this question did Andy's mind go right to gay thoughts?
That's a good
they
question.
They did go to gay thoughts, but it wasn't
like
a player that I was thinking of.
I'm going to go with Dan Copen.
Hey, Lisa. You look pretty hot today.
Okay, I have no clue.
Paul's guess is as good as mine.
He also asks, having the New England Revs play on your field, do you see any consequences to that once the season rolls around?
No.
Have you ever seen this field?
But it's not because the Revs play, it's because the head coach wants the field to certain.
What?
We know Bill likes the field when it's a little bit plodding. I mean, that's pretty much obvious, evident.
That's
I never said
about
it.
That's Andy Hart, H-A-R-T.
When the players complain about it... You know it's obvious that the guy at the top wants it a certain way and it stays that
and
way.
And the players do complain about it often.
Right. They call it a beach.
Okay.
Sand.
Gary Abrams, who will be doing the PFW training camp diary this year? That's
good
a
question.
Good question, Gary.
Any suggestions? How about some suggestions?
Yeah,
right
in. We need some suggestions.
Just for some parameters. Make
Not Tom
them,
Brady.
They have to be veterans and obviously, like Andy said, Not Tom Brady, not...
Teddy Bruschi. They can't be the elite players. It has to be guys that have the time of day for PFW.
We'll take some...
It has to be guys that might actually make it to the end of camp. Bubba's out.
And this question is for Gary. When will you announce the new touchdown song? We season ticket holders should have some time to familiarize ourselves with
that, Gary.
I think we're going to do an online vote.
Oh, okay. Are you being serious?
Yes.
What are the options?
Still working on that.
Was it the song that was blaring when we came in?
A portion of that, potentially, yes.
I don't know what song it was, so it doesn't really matter. I can't give it away.
It won't get fooled again by The Who, but probably not the whole song. Because it's 8 minutes long.
Okay, good.
That'd be good if we celebrated touchdowns for 8 minutes.
We'll
be right back.
Do you have any other sneak peeks at what might be on the poll, the list?
No.
Anything that, you know, was, you know, in the last 15 or 20 years?
Gary or Bill Belichick?
Is there anything modern? Can we update it a little? No offense.
Peace up, A-Town. Yeah!
Hey, that's a what? I like that.
Okay, we got...
Just so I can say what every 30 seconds.
We got Mike from Columbus, Ohio, Buckeye Land, and he's got a little poem.
Is this from Vrabel?
No, this is... Well, it might be because it's a poem about Ken Flanders. There once was a man named Ken Flanders.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders.
There once was a man named Ken Flanders. To Patriots fans in the pro shop, he panders. Of his office location, you'll need to remind him, because it's nearly impossible to find him, since through the halls of Gillette, he meanders.
Can you forward that, Gary, to Ken?
That's
We've made
good.
Him a superstar.
That's very good.
On the football side, he's looking forward to the young talent on offense, but he has some concerns about the defense. He feels if they can't put it together, this team might not have enough to make another playoff run. What are your thoughts on the defense? Does that have more question marks than the offense?
I think so.
Well, the offense has a lot of young guys they're going to be relying on.
Right.
The defense has some veterans that they know they can rely on. They're just getting a little older. I think the offense may have more question marks with the Dillon, the receivers, or the offensive linemen healthy.
The center, yeah.
I think my concerns on defense are bigger because two things. One, Rodney Harrison, and two, the linebacker thing that we just talked about. If they don't have, a viable rotation of linebackers, I think that really sets the defense back a little bit. We saw a lot of things go wrong offensively last year, and for the most part, the unit was still able to put up enough points to win most weeks. And defensively, I think this, and plus I think that's Belichick's style, I think, is to have a better defense than they had for the most part last year. And I have questions about linebacker and Rodney Harrison.
Paul swayed me. Originally, I was leaning towards your angle, Tom. Now, well, that little answer swayed me.
Not bad for the worst
they
one
had a,
on the
a,
show.
They
that's
had a bad offensive line last year, a bad running game. Deion Branch was, you know, taken out of games at times, and yet they still put up points. Because you say the unit did enough.
Part of that.
Tom Brady did enough.
Well, I mean, that's
part of that was
that's
because
part of
a terrible defense, though.
But I agree with him. Tom Brady will get it done.
That's
the combo of Corey Dillon and Lawrence.
Far cry.
No, that's
day
not true.
In the
so
office that we argued who's better, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, and one of us three said Tom Brady. Now I got the other two
just
guys
so
telling
you know
me in Brady we trust.
No,
put
no,
Brady
but
out there with a bunch of
that's not true.
Talk,
you cut me off, and
yeah,
if you had let me finish,
yeah. But that's see what here's the thing with that. There's no question that I for a long time felt that Manning was better. But let's just say I think Manning's better now. I don't. I've been swayed on that based on his pathetic performance against Pittsburgh last year. But, okay, I was wrong. But I had Brady at number two. So I would still be saying, because they have Tom Brady, just like if Manning was here now, I would say, well, they have Peyton Manning.
Right.
He'll overcome some of the shortcomings that they have on offense. I think Brady will do that. That's just because I didn't think he was the best didn't mean I thought he was the worst.
Where I was going to continue was the offensive line should be better.
Okay.
Right? You got some young guys that have experience. You have guys returning, even if it's not Coben. You have
right.
Light returning. Hochstein's been there. Okay, whatever. The backfield has to be better, right? Maroney, Falk, and Dillon has to be better than how bad Dillon was last year.
You like Maroney, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what if he can't play? Because we've never
well,
seen him
play.
Well,
then I've got to assume that Dillon might be. He was off. Dillon sucked.
Dillon can't be as bad as he was last year.
Why not?
Year.
He's a year older. Maybe he gets hurt week two.
They can't even put him on the field if he's as bad as
he was and injuries go together. You can't say he's getting older and then to say, well, he was injured, because he's most likely going to get injured.
Have you been following my line this show? I'm on board. He changed his offseason workout plan.
You might have to read Andy Hart's commentary for the next issue where he services
Gary,
the,
can you get
the entire
that
organization.
Washing sound going?
Well,
hey.
What?
What?
I say more question marks on offense. That's my stance. I'm sticking
so
to it.
So you are just sold on Monty Beisel is awesome, and whoever comes in when Beisel or somebody gets hurt is awesome?
No, I'm just sold on guys like Richard Seymour, Brewski, Vrabel, Colvin, Wilfork,
Harrison, I'm not sold on Colvin or Wilfork.
Yeah, you got a little far down your line there. I was with you on Brewski, and Vrabel.
You guys have more question marks about Colvin and Wilfork than you do Rashay Caldwell and Chad Jackson. That's crazy.
Well, if we're gonna get up to backups, then Rashay Caldwell, then okay, you're right. I have more questions about Colvin than I do
right
Rashay Caldwell. I do.
Rashay Caldwell.
I don't think
a starter.
He'll be a starter.
That's your opinion, but he's considered
right
a starter.
By who?
By the PFW depth chart.
which apparently Paul Perillo of PFW was not involved
which
with.
Can't put rookies in starting roles.
All right, okay, well, it's Jackson
another
then.
Role we just
I feel better with Colvin.
It's our depth chart. We made the rule, Paul.
Hey, listen, I like your Tom Brady theory. You know I usually fall back on that. Just in this particular argument, I think they have more question marks on offense because they're going to be...
What about
going to rely on a
secondary
lot more younger players? Well, that is obviously the question mark on defense.
Four positions.
Four different positions, then.
Well, receiver, running back. I mean, you got everyone's got Ben Watson in the Pro Bowl. I saw him drop about as many passes as he caught last year. He looks good with
that
his shirt off, though. And Andy Hart.
So, wait, all right.
I don't know,
Tom,
about that. Daniel Graham drops as many
Tom,
as he can.
just to go back to your argument, that you should, so you have more questions about Benjamin Watson than you do, you know, who's going to play safety if Harrison's not back? Or, you know, whether or not Ellis
Jones
Hobbs
is a borderline Pro Bowler.
He is any
this
boat in a storm,
this
guy.
This doesn't have anything to do with Andy Hart's decision. This has to do with your opinion. You obviously don't think...
You think
about Jones
the
way we do.
I'm fine with the defense. I love Ellis Hobbs. I think...
Got a new coordinator.
They're worse than last year.
The defense? Way better. Not even close. That won't even be close.
Better?
Okay. Way better. Not even close.
You know what's going to happen?
Guys,
they sign Ty Law next week.
No,
they're way better.
That's
Ty
a whole,
goes, I told you they'd be better.
That's a whole different thing.
You guys
and
are
then
asking
we
me
change
if they're going to be better than 31st in pass defense? Because they can only get one spot worse. So I think they'll be better.
Well, I'm just wondering what they added to make them much better than 31st in pass defense.
Because Hobbs will be in his second season. Players will
so
be returning. You know, Beisel's in his second year. I think you can't get much worse than they were last year because every good offense they played last year blitzkrieged them.
So we can use that theory on defense, but we can't use it for Dylan. Can't, I mean, Andy said Dylan can't be worse than he was last year.
It can be worse. They can take the first half of last year and make it for 16 games.
Stop this nonsense on the radio. Neither one of you two think Dylan is going to be great this year.
I don't think he's going to be great, but he's going to be better
than
he was last year.
Better than off.
Okay, he'll get 800 yards instead of 700.
He will probably get 1,000,
awful,
to be honest with you. But I don't think he's going to be great.
He can't be as bad. He was as low as you can go and still be in the league.
I just don't see why he can't be as bad.
Because it won't happen.
What
because
if he doesn't
that
have
bad,
it anymore?
Lawrence Maroney be in the lineup and he'll be
right
better.
Okay.
Is Lawrence Maroney not better than Heath Evans, a guy they marched out there for a month
definitely
straight as the starting running back?
On that.
Heath Evans isn't even a running back.
But it's still a question mark.
Back.
We still have question
well,
marks.
Well, I mean, if you're going to go with that kind of semantic, then everything is a question mark except for Tom Brady and Richard
not
Seymour.
Not the defensive line and the linebackers. They're pretty
I'm
set.
Not sold that Vince Wilfork is a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, I mean, if
you got him in the Pro Bowl,
we saw how bad that defensive line played.
Nose tackle in football.
We saw how bad that defensive line played when Seymour was out for a month.
What if he's not out for a month?
What if he is?
Then they're better. That's how it works. That's exactly
what
if
Tom
how
Brady's
works
out for a month.
I'm saying Seymour and Dylan will be healthy all year, so the defense will be better and the running game will still stink. That's what I'm saying.
I think that. That's a question that I'm not willing to have. I think if everybody's healthy on offense, the running game is better. Because
here,
you have
Kyle,
healthy linemen and a healthy
Kyle,
running back.
As I say what the same things I believe in the office on the radio,
you don't,
and these guys don't.
No, that's,
you don't.
That's
okay,
completely
let's
ridiculous.
Go to Ray.
No. First of all,
that's Ray's not accurate.
I know that you don't normally host, Reverend but when you Ray actually have a topic that you're discussing and analyzing and there's some disagreement, you generally stay with it. You don't pull the Fred Kirsch and Oh, they don't agree with me, so I'm going to go on.
No.
I'm on the record in Patriots Football Weekly saying Corey Dillon
can't
be as bad.
Can we get like a bell and some boxing gloves in here?
He can't be as bad.
Just because I don't think Corey Dillon is going to rush for 1,600 yards again doesn't mean that I don't think he can be better than he was last year.
There's no middle ground there?
There's got to be a... That's what...
Okay,
I mean, you're just going all or nothing here.
No, what's better?
I think he'll be better than what he was last year.
You're not saying anything. You're saying he'll be better than he was last year. You mean 3.5 yards per carry?
I don't have a question.
I can get a guy off the street to do that.
I don't have a...
better than last year.
I don't have a question.
That's what we're saying.
I don't have questions about the running game. I think the line will be healthy, and I think they have two viable running backs this year, whereas last year they had none.
Okay, I think you're nuts.
Fine. You don't have to agree with me, but don't say that I'm saying something I don't believe.
By the way, we know you like Maroney, and now you're acting like Maroney is bringing absolutely nothing to the table.
No, because it suits his argument.
The office, what I say on the radio.
I said
Corey Dillon can't be better than he was last year, but Monty Beisel can.
I said we like Maroney, but I said what if he can't play? That was my original statement.
But you think he can.
I think he can.
Okay.
Didn't I say he was going to be Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, but the offense, the running game's not going to be any better.
No, the thing was who do you have more concerns about offense
right.
or defense?
And you admitted you have concerns about
offense.
The entire
but
secondary, which is four positions.
See, here's where I disagree with
about
the,
offense.
The way that you're talking about it, Tom, that I disagree is you're going like an individual thing. Well, will Dillon do this? Will the offensive line do that? Who's going to catch the pass? I'm talking about do I have a bigger concern about defense or offense? Not the number of individual little players that are going to do what. I have a bigger concern about the defense being good than I do the offense being good. And I should say great, not good. I think both units will be pretty good. I have a bigger concern about the defense being great the way it was in 2003 and 2004 than I do about the offense being as good as it was last year.
And I just have more concerns about the offense because I think they have a lot of ifs that they need to come through. At receiver.
I just think the ifs, maybe not as many, but they're bigger on defense. That's where I think it's a semantics kind of thing that we're talking about. I think if, for example, if Monty Beisel can't play, your whole defense is in disarray.
Right.
That's only one thing. Whereas
well,
you might have
four as bad as he was last year, Kenny. He can't be as bad as he was last year.
Why not?
Well, according to your theory.
Well, because Dillon can't be, so I'm...
Corey Dillon set the franchise record 1 year earlier and is a great NFL running back.
Thank you.
He's not great anymore.
Monty Beisel has never been anything in the league.
You know he's not great.
But he was great. He has... We don't know if Monty Beisel can flat out play.
Right.
If he could ever play in the NFL.
We also don't know.
According to you who stated this on the radio a couple weeks ago, he looked much better next to Teddy Bruschi late in the year.
He never played with Bruschi.
No, I said I think he's going to look much better. I think there's a big difference between replacing and playing next.
When he got back in the lineup late in the year, Bruschi was out.
Better.
I think he's going to be better than the guy we saw giving up the plays against the San Diego Chargers.
Okay, so you feel that the defense will be improved then because Beisel's going to be better.
But he's a question. What I think and what I question. On offense, I have questions at wide receiver. But I think either Troy Brown, Chad Jackson, or Rishe Caldwell can line up as the number two wide receiver, and Tom Brady can win with that.
Right. Or Ben Watson, you know, suddenly becomes a bigger part of the
right.
passing.
I think there's
a lot of ifs on both sides, but I think the ifs on offense overlap enough so that Tom Brady and the ifs will score points.
See, but I think Tom might be right. There may be, in fact, more ifs on offense.
That's my point. That's
maybe more individual ifs. But I think even if they all turn out to be bad, the offense can be better than if just one if doesn't turn out to be right on defense. Rodney Harrison doesn't come back. I don't see that secondary being better than 31st in the league.
Really?
I don't.
All right.
I'm not ready to put Ellis Hobbs with Mike Haynes yet. I know a lot of other people in New England are, but I'm not.
But I
think eventually he's going to start getting called for some of those penalties.
If their secondary is 31st in the league, then you will agree they're going to have a hard time winning the division.
Yeah. Now, obviously, 31st, it'd be hard. They'd be hard pressed to be that bad. Much like I said, I think Corey Dillon would be hard pressed to be as bad as he was last year, 3.5 yards a carry.
All right.
I think he'd be hard pressed to duplicate that ineptitude. But I'm not sold on. I don't think the Patriots really have improved their secondary unless Rodney Harrison is close to 100% for the majority of the season.
Okay.
I don't think they've done really anything to improve that secondary.
The only option is Tabucky Jones.
And Rodney's my boy, and we need him back. Obviously, that's a big if, though.
Well, we'll take our final break after that brouhaha, and we'll be back for a final half hour of PFW in progress.
He's a selfish jerk.
Wednesday, July 19th at 7:30, the Fields of Rathmore come to Gillette Stadium with the boys from Scotland. Welcome the newly crowned Scottish Premier League title holder Celtic Football Club as they face off against your New England Revolution. The World Cup might be over, but the World's Game heats up in Foxborough as Celtic stars Aidan McGeady and Sean Maloney go up against Taylor Twellman.
Unbelievable! Taylor Twellman!
Clint Dempsey.
Diving header by Dempsey!
Matt Reese.
Great save by Matt Reese!
And the rest of the Reds. Don't miss Celtic Football Club's first appearance in the Boston area in 30 years as they prepare for the upcoming UEFA Champions League season. Tickets are on sale now. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS to find out about special group discounts and free parking. This is a match you won't want to miss. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your tickets now.
From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Touchdown! Tom Brady launches a 60-yard.
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
And that's full time. The New England Revolution are your Eastern Conference champions for 2005. What a performance by the Revs.
The New England Revolution are revved up for a return to MLS Cup. As summer heats up New England, the soccer action heats up in Foxborough.
Gillette Stadium explodes.
Don't miss exciting matchups against DC United and Freddie Adu. A Friday night matchup against Real Salt Lake and the New York Red Bulls and Houston Dynamo's first ever appearances in Foxborough. Get your Gillette Stadium for hot soccer action all summer long with the interactive theme park soccer celebration plus free parking all season long. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable fun day for the whole family. Tickets start at just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your ticks. Get your kicks and get the Revolution.
What's happening?
Okay, we're back. The PFW in progress. Paul is still all riled up. He took a shot at me off the air.
Definitely have that Fred intro down pat, by the way.
Okay, continuing with the emails, we have Reverend Ray up, and he wants to know who among the undrafted free agents seems like they have a legitimate shot at making a contribution to the team.
None.
Nobody? You got no...
I think inside. One of those inside linebackers probably has a shot. You know, Corey Mays or Freddie Roach probably has a shot to make an impact. Probably none, but to make the team, I think one of those guys might. They don't have anybody.
No, I know.
They
but
don't
impact.
Have any depth at linebacker.
Yeah,
but I think I'm speaking for the Reverend, but I think he's more or less talking about making a chance to make the team more so than an impact.
Rev Ray,
okay.
Like Reverend.
Does that list begin and end with Randall Gay?
What?
Undrafted free agents that made an impact in their rookie year?
I think that's for somebody to do that is surprising.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, can you think of another? I mean, they always have a guy who makes the team. Mike Wright made
the
team.
I don't consider Mike Wright impact. Right. So that's why I don't think...
Garrett Johnson in the past started a couple of games but made no impact.
Especially on good teams.
Jace Saylor.
Expect an undrafted rookie free agent to come in and be an impact player.
Got to go back to Adam Vinatieri.
I mean... Yeah, we've had our one for the last 5 or 6 years. It'll be a little while.
Okay, we got Colin checking in, and he wants to know, what are the chances that Chad Scott makes the 53-man roster? Andy thinks not very good.
Well, I think he's one of those veteran guys who you say, he could help my team, but he's just not one of my top 10 or 11 DBs, and he gets cut late. So, I think he's in the mix. I think he's good enough. I think that's what he is. He's one of those tweener, those 4A major league players who's good enough to be in the mix all the time, but really isn't a starting caliber NFL defensive back.
I think it's between him and Warfield to make the team, and I think he makes it. Warfield doesn't.
I agree with Paul.
That's because you hate Warfield.
I have no problems with Warfield whatsoever.
Your boy just got another hit, by the way, Mirabelli.
He's on fire! He's
almost up to the Mendoza line. 196.
Dougie.
Colin goes on to say almost that to Jonathan Sullivan needs to find something better to do with his time than
I love that.
4 a.m. And then he says, what do you think will happen if Maroney is a big success? Not saying he won't be. But who leaves first, Dillon by trade or the release of Falk? If I had my way, I'd send Dillweed packing. Don't get Paul all riled up here. But I don't know.
Dillon goes first because they're not really the same.
I absolutely would think that Dillon would go first.
Yeah.
I mean, Falk is still a role player, and that role could continue even with Lawrence Maroney as your superstar franchise back.
I think this is Dillon's last year here myself. Right. I mean, regardless of how well he plays this year.
Does, I mean, he will... He's going to be 32 when the season starts. He'll be 33 next year. I mean, that's really getting up there for a power back.
The only way he makes it hard on you is if you suddenly come out and rush for 1,500 yards.
Don't forget what Corey told you. October 24th. So you won't be 32 when the season starts.
When the season is underway. I'm sorry.
I just want to, you know, in case he comes after you, I want you to
And in 1995, he had a great year.
By the time he could be the backup running back
at Washington,
he'll be 32.
I don't give a
2004, he had a great year, too, you know.
No, I was going...
Tom forgets that. He's the same as Monty Bison.
No, I'm talking about Dillon taking out his bio. To
Corey Dillon's bio and Monty Bison, same.
Right now, yes.
All that's different is
agree.
Right now, yes.
I think Bison's actually better. Okay, we have...
Change their bio.
We have Bob from Arlington, Virginia.
Hey, Bob.
He's got true or false. Of all the Patriots unsigned rookies, Chad Jackson is the most important to the team to get signed and into camp on time.
True.
Okay. This one I would like
true, to... Yeah, true.
Important to the team, yeah.
Plus, it's a position that
That's
you need
why.
To get on with Brady, all that. Lawrence Maroney's a running back and come in and run.
And he's probably not going to be a starter anyway.
And this one is, he'd like to hear from Paul.
Oh,
will
boy.
Drew, God in the body, Bledsoe, be able to get the most out of T.O. without any outbursts?
I can't hear
Drew
anything.
Will consistently get blitzed and will have trouble getting T.O. the ball, which will lead to T.O. abusing Drew and others in the media.
Well, I think he'll consistently get blitzed, but I think he'll get T.O. the ball. I mean, he always has gotten the receivers the ball. I mean, even when he's...
Usually a few defensive backs.
T.O. will complain anyway.
Even when he's consistently getting sacked, he's always... I mean...
I'm gonna slightly disagree on the constantly getting blitzed, because if T.O. or Terry Glenn and Jason Witten are one-on-one all the time, Drew Bledsoe is going to have a field day, because nobody can cover T.O. one-on-one. So if you're blitzing...
That's a good point.
So
that's
I don't...
Point.
And
but I don't have any worries about Bledsoe getting T.O. the ball. I do have worries about T.O., you know, not blowing up. I mean, that's what he does.
Being T.O. Tom Casale loved the move as much as anyone, and he's already P.O.
Yeah,
T.O.
Sick of him. On a scale from 1 to 10, with a 7 being an average line and a 10 being the best in the league, rank the current Patriots offensive line from
7.
1 to 10.
7 is average?
7 is
seven
average.
Is average.
Seven.
I would say 7.
With the potential to maybe be a little bit better this year.
Yeah, well, they have some young guys.
I think they have more talent than they've ever really had.
They have more, yeah.
They're drafted.
They've drafted, you know, Mankins and Kazier, you know, higher draft picks than, you know, they've traditionally used. And obviously Mankins is a little bit better than the last time they used a second-round pick, you know, a high pick with Clem. He has more ability, it would appear. Yeah, I think I agree with Andy.
Lights back.
They have some guys. They have some young draft picks that they've invested with Light, Mankins, Kazier, and then Copen's a fifth-round guy.
It's better than, you know, guys off the practice squad every week that Dante's just supposed to whip into shape and put out there for Super Bowls.
And finally, are you more worried about the Patriots' pass rush or secondary? That one's pretty easy. That's secondary.
Pass rush or secondary.
Especially with Vrabel moving to the outside.
Paul.
Yeah, I would go secondary. But I don't think that the pass rush is very good either.
But don't you think
if Vrabel returns to the outside, that should improve that. Yeah, that's a good point, too.
And they've all
twice.
There's playmakers there. I'm not even sure who the guys trying to make plays in the secondary will be. Never mind whether they can make the plays.
Yeah, bigger concerns in the secondary.
I agree.
Till Ty Law signs.
Okay, let's go. We got...
And Mike Williams is traded from the Lions to the Patriots.
We got Mark from Fitchburg again. All he says is Rodney Harrison returning this year?
Yes.
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 Let's keep it simple.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely win the long ball drive today.
And he did.
By a lot.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We have OTIS in Missouri. Well, I guess the Pats...
OTIS!
I guess the Pats' first preseason game will be in Atlanta. Anybody looking forward to seeing Michael Vick perform better, not miss the first... All right.
Injuries.
How do you
possession.
Think... Possession. How do you think... Let's go to the second question. How do you think the Pats will approach the preseason this year? It seems like there are a lot of new faces, and there may be a variety of formations on defense. Are we looking at a lot of experimentation? Will there be a set number of snaps for certain guys in each game? I think that's an interesting question, but I was wondering this myself. With all the new receivers and things like that, do we see Brady a little bit more in the preseason? How do you guys see that shaking out?
I think that's an interesting... I don't know the answer necessarily, but I think with everybody and the versatile players, you know, everybody says, oh, Watson can split out wide, and who's your wide receivers, and Mills and Thomas. That's an interesting question. I'm not really willing to play the game of, well, you know, we'll see two extra series per game because of it. I don't know.
I also think that you're going to see more of Brady because they don't have any... I mean, I think they only have two quarterbacks. I don't really think they're going to go out of their way to get a whole lot of playing time for Bramlett and,
no.
and Mortensen in the
But
preseason.
Do you need to see even more Castle? I mean, do you want to get him even more experience?
I think you'll see him play... You know, for example, did Brady not play at all in the first preseason game last year, if I'm not mistaken? You know, I don't think you'll see that this year. I think he'll play, you know, at least a quarter or so.
Do you think any of it,
and
though,
Castle's going to play? Castle's going to play a lot, obviously.
Is any of it based, though, on the weapons and the Josh McDaniels call after he had his baby to Tom Brady? Say, oh, more two tight ends this year, and all the weapons and the excitement of we got to get all these new things together and timing. And
yeah, no, I think that the points that you guys raised are accurate. I mean, if they supposedly have more weapons they want to integrate into the offense, you would think that they might spend more time in games this year than they have maybe last year when they didn't have all those concerns.
Okay, we got Mac chiming in. Yo, dudes. Larry Izzo has not only been a captain and leader on special teams for the last five seasons for the Patriots, but he's excelled in that role, being selected to the Pro Bowl three times. With Izzo turning 32 in September, it might be time to look at what is to become of the Patriots special teams in the next few years. Who do you see emerging as the next generation of special teams leaders on the Patriots?
That's a good question.
Tully Bantakane.
Special teams leaders.
Is he?
Ray Ventrone.
Is Tully Bantakane good enough on special teams?
Bubba's name out there.
I'm looking at a guy who's been on, you know, had a lot of roles on special teams for two, three seasons.
Yeah, no question.
Now. I think, you know, two years from now, I think you're looking at him as a Matt Chatham.
So he's good enough to stick.
Wasn't good enough, he wouldn't be on those roles anymore. Because he's not playing defense. I think they would have gotten rid of him.
I think he was young enough to stick, but now you're getting into that point. Is he good enough in those roles to stay just in those roles, to be Larry Izzo?
Yeah, I think he is.
Okay.
Because I don't think he would have kept those roles that he had all these years. I don't think they would have kept them.
Well, see, I think he's good at special teams. But I think you reach a point where there's a convergence
contributions. You know, like Matt Chatham got to a point where he became a free agent. He didn't want that. He wanted more. Maybe Bantakane wants more. Whenever his contract is up,
which
I think is in 2 years.
He thinks he can be a pass rusher in the NFL.
But I think that they think he's good enough to be a special team guy.
It's interesting.
You know.
Possibly Mike Wright.
Mike Wright?
He
wants to be that guy. And he was one of the hardest workers this spring. Put on muscle, dropped body fat. Questions?
Is Patrick Pass one of those guys? Oh, is he gone this year?
Yeah, he's on the way
Patrick
out.
Patrick Pass is on every special team.
He's on the way out.
I don't know if Pass is necessarily gone. If you're talking about the big three, if Pass, he plays a lot on special teams, you know, he can play fullback.
That's why I bring it up,
back.
Tom.
He dropped the ball, literally.
I'm going to say Pass makes the team.
Okay. I'm going to say he doesn't.
Okay.
Well, there's a chance they may have an extra spot, too, on offense. An extra roster spot if they only keep two quarterbacks.
Right.
And four wide receivers.
Yeah, I don't think they'll keep four wide receivers.
And Matt,
if you consider the two extra tight end,
five is generally considered the one less.
But if
a lot of teams
play a crazy game. Ben Watson is half wide receiver.
Four.
Garrett Mills is half wide receiver.
But I just think that you're looking for two fewer receivers than a lot of teams keep keeping four.
I'm going to go with Paul on this one. You always do.
I mean, the Patriots have kept six.
You agree a lot, except when it comes to...
That one thing today, and you get all mad at me because I happen to disagree with you. I dare disagree with
you.
You
were the one that got mad. I was pulling the Fred Kirsch. I was trying to generate good radio here, Paul. And he also wants to know, Mac wants to know, the supplemental draft has taken place since your last broadcast. What are your opinions on the Bengals using next year's third-round pick on Ahmad Brooks? Well, I will just chime in and say that I like using a third-round pick on Ahmad Brooks. I don't know about the Bengals using a third-round pick on Ahmad Brooks with all the troubled players they have on their roster.
I agree. He's a guy with a background, and you're putting him in place with a lot of other guys with questionable backgrounds. I think Ahmad Brooks is one of those guys that has, you know, everybody says it, top 10, first-round type talent, prototypical inside linebacker, all that. But he's one of those players I think you'd also like to get with a, you know, a Teddy Bruschi or some guy you consider a veteran leader who can show him the straight and narrow. And I'm not sure Odell Thurman and A.J. Nicholson and all those guys in Cincinnati are necessarily...
Hey, now, get off Nicholson. He just happened to fall in the bushes when the cops were there.
Well, that's
he
right.
Explained himself at the combine, and I think we all believed him.
Yeah, and he deserves... No, he doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt.
You know, I mean...
What's the record for the most acquisitions in 1 year of guys that were arrested? Because the Bengals have to be approaching that.
I'd email Pro Football Talk. I bet you he'd have an answer to that.
Probably. Okay, we got Gary from Syracuse, New York. How long is camp open for the public, and how easy is it to get autographs at camp? How many people can show up for camp in a day?
Camp is open from July 28th to, I want to say, August 16th or 17th. You can check Patriots.com for the tentative dates that are listed now. Autographs are kind of hit or miss. They sign every day. There's a lot of players that sign every day, but you need to get down front when the fans are out there, and it's a wild scene. I mean, there's a lot of fans here, and it's hard.
If you want an autograph, I think you can get an autograph.
Yeah.
If you want Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Now, the other
part
of that is...
If you want Childress or Bubba Ventrone, you have a good shot at getting...
In terms of capacity, I'm not exactly sure what it is. I think it's somewhere around 5,000, but I don't think last year it was a problem at all. I don't think there were any... I mean, in the past, when they first brought it to Gillette Stadium, there were a couple of days where there was some overflow that they brought inside the stadium, and you had a watch practice on the big screens inside the stadium. I don't think that happened once last year.
I don't think so either. If you come, there's a good chance you're going to get out to the practice fields and get to watch.
Yeah, more or less, if you come to a practice, you have a very good chance of not only seeing the practice, but of getting an autograph or two.
Paul will sign for you if nobody else will. He'll be available at the media tent. It's at the top of the hill on the end of the field. Paul Perillo, he'll be the guy with the Northeastern hat on. Dead giveaway.
I don't know if you know, but there's only one member of the Patriots Football Weekly / Patriots.com family that's ever signed an autograph. And
that's Brian Lowe.
Not Paul Perillo.
But you'll make it too. Paul is always willing to work with his fans.
I don't think this has I've never been asked, and if I am ever asked, I will have the same answer that I always tell you. Why would you want to ruin whatever it is that you want me to sign? You have players to sign.
You're kind of a big deal.
Nah, not so
many
much.
Leather-bound books.
Not so
hey,
much.
She's chiming in from a foot and a half away from
and
the
mic. We had a lot of rich mahogany.
We're up to 56 words.
There was a lot of rich mahogany talk last week on the show. So they don't talk, but maybe they do listen.
Now, this next email says it's from James Clark, but I believe it could be Fred Kirsch. He's calling this season the season of vengeance. This year I see a 14-2 or possibly a 15-1 regular season. Too much pride, talent, and bad Denver memories. The number one playoff seed will be locked up before Thanksgiving. And speaking of Thanksgiving...
It's a virtual impossibility.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, don't you think from a marketing standpoint, the NFL would have put the Patriots in prime time on the NFL Network's premier Turkey Night broadcast? With our century-plus tradition of Thanksgiving high school football, missed a great opportunity to spotlight this special tradition. And there was the and where was the first Thanksgiving? Just
gobble,
a few miles
gobble.
East of Foxborough. Watch out, NFL. It's Mission Miami. What do you guys think about the NFL missing out on putting the Patriots on Thanksgiving?
First of all, who's in the game? What's the primetime
game? It's Kansas City and Oakland, and I believe they would put Kansas City in there because Peterson's been crying about the Thanksgiving schedule for years, and they probably put him on and shut him up.
What was he crying about?
That he doesn't want Dallas and Detroit to have the games. He feels like it should be rotated through all the teams, but... like many people point out, Kansas City had a chance to be on Thanksgiving when no one else wanted it, and that's when Dallas and Detroit stepped in and said, we'll take it. But now he feels that there should be a rotation, and that's probably why they put him on.
I feel like Phil Rizzuto. I didn't know that, White.
Yeah, I,
so it's not going to be Dallas and Detroit this year?
No, it is.
No, they are on.
It's a very complex proposal.
This is a third game on the NFL Network.
I really didn't understand it.
In primetime.
And there's a good chance that the Patriots could be playing on Thanksgiving next year at Dallas.
And it was only 3 years ago?
They were on
2000 and 2002. We were on a Thanksgiving in Detroit.
I know all Patriots fan thinks the world revolves around New England, but there's other teams out there that are pretty good and
right.
have fan bases. You know, I think there's a few people that watch the Kansas City Chiefs based on those 80,000 wackos right. that are at the game.
And the Raiders.
I also find it funny that we spent, well, I don't know.
I didn't want to rip you, Jimmy, by the way. Sorry.
The better part of 3 months last year whining about how tough the schedule was because they had all these primetime games against all these great teams and how the NFL, quote-unquote, stacked it with the toughest schedule ever for a Super Bowl champion and all that other nonsense. And now this year they have, what, two Sunday night games and a Monday night game? Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So that's three primetime games, and that's not enough.
They're never
it's enough
happy.
For us.
It's further proof that it doesn't matter what the schedule is, we'll always complain about the league having it out for the Patriots.
Three primetime games is enough for the PFW crew, we can tell you that much.
I'm just thankful that two of them are home, right?
Right.
Denver and who else?
Denver and the Colts are home, and then our furthest trip of the year is to Minnesota. But they snuck that in on a Monday night game.
Oh, yeah. The super fan named James Clark, is there any chance that that's the producer of our PFW TV
show? Oh, it could be. Could be. Clarky.
Yeah, that's what he said, Clarky, at the end of his email. So
I think that's the producer of our PFW TV show.
Good job, Clarky.
And the guy with glasses.
Oh, and that makes sense, because he's one of those guys that always thought the NFL was out to screw the Patriots.
So, Ron from
See you
Raymond,
soon, Clarky.
Ron from Raymond, New Hampshire. I missed the first hour of the show, so I don't know if you touched on this.
Probably
what
not.
Is your take on Garrett Mills, other than having a great football name and looking like an oversized Brady and an undersized John Hanna?
I never once thought of Brady and Hanna as being similar. In
they are all white football players.
Halfway between Brady and Hanna.
Mills. Garrett Mills, I thought, struggled a little bit in camps, and I know Tom.
Dirty.
Tom agrees.
Yeah.
Just thought that he, you know, didn't look real smooth a lot. I'm not even talking about dropping passes, which he did.
Having trouble running some routes.
Yeah, it looked like he
fell off
to
quite
a bit.
Lot. Yeah, slipped a lot.
A lot in and out of his cuts. He seemed like he was, you know, you watch, and it's unfair to compare him, but you watch some of the, you watch like Troy Brown and, you know, in the past, guys like Branch, and you just see guys look smoother. But I would even say David Thomas.
I was going
to
say, I would compare him to Thomas. He
looked a lot smoother than Mills. But
and
just, they're, just a first
and
impression.
First asking Mills.
He's never left Tulsa. I mean, he's here.
Right. And he's they're probably asking him to do things.
Now he's making fun of the Midwest.
They're probably asking him to do things that he didn't do in college because he's playing a new role here. Kind
and
of
multiple things.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's learning tight end, fullback, a variety of different roles, and that might be a little overwhelming for him.
But he did have a 3.97 GPA in college.
Plus, he was
to figure it out.
Yeah, he was promoted as like the greatest person on planet Earth who could do everything
yeah,
and anything and Superman.
In the PFW newspaper, someone wrote a story about him like he was the next coming of Jesus Christ. I think
some colossal suck up.
Okay, we have Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hey.
What's up, Jen?
I haven't heard anything about Lakeven Smith, but as far as I know, he hasn't been let go yet.
Nope.
Other than Jackson, the Smith pick was the only one I really liked, so she did not particularly like the Patriots draft. And in my opinion, he was a steal in the sixth. Being stuck watching Husker games all the time, I've seen a lot of Smith, and I like him. He's a hard hitter, quick. How did he look through rookie camps? I am really hoping he makes the roster. He'd be some good depth at nose tackle. From what little have you seen of him, do you think he's got a good chance of making it through training camp?
Paul, why don't you handle this one?
I have no idea. I don't have.
We didn't see much of him at all.
No contact at any of the camps, the rookie mini camp and the regular mini camp. They didn't wear pads, contrary to reports in the Providence Journal.
So far, we've got the Globe, the Herald, the Journal.
That's what we do.
The Herald should be ashamed of themselves for not hiring Paul Perillo.
Yeah, whatever.
As I said,
hey, it's too late for you now, my friend.
As I said when I was drunk at Fred's party, Paul Perillo not being hired by the Herald is the biggest injustice since Marvin Hagler losing to Sugar Ray Leonard, and I stand by it.
Good for you, Tom. It's too late for you to suck up. You
know. He hates you.
So, and Jen also, you know, she can't go have an email without something about Michigan.
Michael Hart.
Oh, before you get to that, I would, you know, if she's not happy with the Maroney pick, if she's not happy with the Maroney pick, that worries me because she's such a Big Ten expert that she must see something that she doesn't like. That's all.
I think it's lingering hate.
I don't know why you always
have to turn those off.
I don't know why you always have to rip me.
Love, hate, relationships, it's hard to turn it off.
She I think she's been complimentary of Big Ten players in the past that she thought could
She
play.
Says, obviously I'd like to see Woods make the roster, but I won't be holding my breath, and I won't be heartbroken if he doesn't make the team. I mean, obviously he's a Wolverine, but it's not like he's one of my boys. He just never showed a lot of consistency. But he is a Wolverine, so I have to at least root for him to make the team. Can never have too many Wolverines on the Pats roster.
Two things in Lekeven's favor. He's a nose tackle, right? He's a true kind of nose tackle?
That's what I was going to ask about, because I couldn't think.
I wouldn't necessarily say true anything, but Tom points out that he has played inside. He's played three different spots on the defensive line.
And they don't have a true backup nose tackle, and Jonathan Sullivan may have, you know, partied his way out of that potential.
Certainly, Lekeven Smith's chances of making the team
so,
dramatically
I mean,
increased if Jonathan Sullivan's shown the door.
As we talked about earlier with offensive line, there maybe is a role there for him to win if he's capable of impressing in camp.
Okay, and Gary pointed out that I skipped this email, but I did it purposely because it was so long that I have no idea how I'm supposed to read it. It's from Colin in England, and he says, I'm a relatively new listener. Listen to you on the podcast. Love the show. I was in hospital last week and took you with me. Better than the drugs. I don't know if he means
we
the anesthesia.
Uppers or downers?
Yeah. He's talking about globalization of the game. They love the Pats in the Boston area, but I have to pay $400 a ticket on top of flights and hotels, so it makes it hard for them to get here. I could be looking at over $2,000 for tickets and merchandise.
In dollars or pounds?
Booing the kicker.
Merchandise, kickers.
I sent it because we were out of email, so you can read it.
Uh-oh, Gary's getting mad over there.
I know, but it's...
It was important enough to take him away from the solitaire game.
Okay, so merchandise. If you manage to get a hold of a dude from the...
John, not happy.
From the club shop, can you ask him why shipping to the UK is so expensive?
Because there's a big
to
body
to
of
parties or auction sites who ship for a fraction of the pro shop. Are there any plans to license merchandise in the UK in the future, other than the cheap Brady jerseys, which still cost us $50, about $90 American? You see it not easy being a Pats fan in England.
First of all,
anything?
I wanted to get a beach towel, and I couldn't get a beach towel in the pro.
And I wanted to get a leash for my dog, and I couldn't get that. So
all complaints to Ken Flanders at Patriots.com.
Not that you'll ever get a hold of him, because apparently he's never in his office.
I've never needed anything out of the pro shop that I wasn't able to acquire.
Apparently you never wanted a beach towel in the summer.
Well, much of anything else, for that matter.
And he goes on to say that he, talking about people booing the kicker, and that he thanks Adam Vinatieri for everything he's done, and he doesn't think that people
Why don't you read
saying,
that part? I like the way he wrote that.
Okay, booing the kicker. As I said earlier, our baby Tom is 18 months old, and I hope that he grows up to be a Pats fan. Then one day he will ask me what it was like when the Pats won those three Super Bowls and how good was the team. I will then get out the press clippings, the books, maybe even the DVDs, and most of them will have pictures of the kicker on them, arms aloft in victory as the teammates celebrate around him. Tom will then ask me in disbelief, you mean this guy kicked to win the Super Bowl twice in the dying seconds and scored vital points in the third? I will say, yes, son. He will say, wow, he must have been a real hero. And I will say, like the listeners last week, no, son, we hate him. Let's boo pictures together. Of course not. He moved on. People do. And he does not, and he now doesn't matter. History will prove him to be a true Patriots hero. Thanks, Adam Vinatieri.
I like the way he made it sound like he was like jumping online with like the Fred Kirschs of the world, and then he kind of, you know, changed in midstream.
Well, I think it's obvious that I've
run
out of gas.
He what?
I said I think it's obvious that I've run out of gas here. I've done all I can as the fill-in host.
Outstanding job, Tom.
Thanks. After this pathetic performance,
call it pathetic at all.
I'm sure it made fans actually respect and like Fred Kirsch, if that's possible. Fred will be back in this seat next week, I believe. Andy Hart may or may not be here.
I'll be here.
Me and Paul will be here.
The interns may or may not speak.
The interns, if they're here, who would know?
The interns are out next week.
Yeah,
you're
out.
The A team is back next week.
They're
back to their little cubicle.
Get back in your office and do your work. So we're looking forward to training camp starting next week. We'll be back with you next Wednesday. Tom Casale signing off.
For the rest of the crew, see you next week.